From Michael John Stadium, the second game of the doubleheader in an Ivy League clash between the host Thin Quakers and the visiting Brown Bears, just about ready to get underway. The final from the first game, 9-6 in favor of the Bears. The Quakers fell to 6-15 on the season with a loss, and Brown picked up their first win of the year. They are now 1-12 after starting the season on a very undesirable slide. But as we said throughout the first game, the opposition they faced was pretty tough, so it seemed like that non-conference competition might have paid off, as they showed some good displays on the hill with their starter, Brian Tews, who went the distance. And he shut down the Quakers. A couple hiccups here and there for him, but for the most part, he was able to contain Penn's bats when needed. And the offense came alive for the Bears as expected. The Bears sitting at 292 on the year. They drove in 9 runs in the game. Take that one, 9-6. And of course, as we were talking about between games, the ceremony honoring Bill and Louise Michael John and the renaming of what was once known as Murphy Field, now official Michael John Stadium here on the southern ends of Penn's campus. And we'll be joined briefly by Steve Bilski, Director of Athletics for Penn. And as we get set to start the second game, Steve Schwartz will be pitching for Penn. And the lineups will go through them in just a little bit. But Steve, thanks a lot for stopping by. Must be an exciting day.
It was a wonderful day. It's one of those weekends where all of our teams are playing, too, and so far we're having a great weekend. We'll see if we can bounce back here in baseball, but the Michael Johns have been tremendous supporters of the university and athletics in a variety of different fronts, so we're just so pleased that Bill could make it out here and get to enjoy today's celebration.
And Paul Christian leading off for Brown. He'll be facing Steve Schwartz, the sophomore. And how did this project get started?
Well, we looked upon it several years ago when the university built actually the chiller plant, which sits next to the baseball stadium, to see if we could create a self-enclosed baseball stadium, and we wanted it to be as good as anyone in the Ivies, and we think we've accomplished that. And in doing that, we also then allowed Bauer Field, which is a little bit more centrally located, to be the intramural recreation field for the campus. So it was kind of a two-headed strategic plan, and it's worked out well. I think the players like it. I know recruits, when they come in, are really impressed with the stadium, and through Bill's gift, we'll be able to enhance it overall and improve it and continue to maintain it as really a top facility.
Count 1-2 to Christian, awaiting the pitch from Steve Schwartz, the first bat of the game, hitting right, and the pitch on the way, grounded, bouncing towards second. It gets underneath the glove of Doug Brown into right center field for base hit, so Christian is a leadoff base runner here in the top of the first. And it's not just athletics that Bill Michael John and his family has donated to. He's helped out in other areas as well.
Well, Bill played 5 sports coming out of high school and didn't play at Penn, but he was a tremendous sports enthusiast. And, you know, he has great feelings towards so many of the old facilities, Franklin Field and the Plustra. And so when we had an opportunity to enhance the Plustra several years ago, Bill stepped up and made a significant gift to allow that to happen. And, you know, then after that, when we had the concept of building the Patrick Health and Fitness Center, Bill was and Louise were tremendously generous to make a sizable gift for that, to allow the Michael John Way to be created, which was the liaison building between the old Gimbel Gym and the new tower. And Bill takes such great pleasure of seeing people enjoy and appreciate the things that he's been able to do. He's, as anyone who's generous like that, they don't do it so much for themselves, they do it for others. And between his scholarship gifts, between Palestra and Michael John Way, and now the baseball stadium, he's really enhanced the lives for many, many, many students on Penn's campus.
Brian Tews on board first with a single through the hole between third and short, so two on board for Brown with no one out here in the top of the first, being joined by Steve Bilski, Director of Athletics for Penn here, just coming off the ceremony. And again, as you mentioned, a lot of the history with Franklin Field, obviously, and with the Palestra, such old venues. But this one, it sets so nice on the Penn campus, a great view out of the outfield as the pitch comes in. Back up the middle for a base hit. They're going to wave Christian around third. Maybe a possible play at the plate, but the throw not in time. So it's a 1-0 Brown lead early as Danny Hughes is on first with a single. Advancing to second is Brian Tews. But this one is a little bit more modern, a real nice scoreboard out over the left field fence. And it really does have a very enjoyable atmosphere. The fans are close to the action.
Well, that's part of what we've been trying to do, is maintain the the two tremendous facilities we have in Franklin Field and Pluster and renovate them and make them modernized so that they're still timely today. And then, in addition to that, create stadiums and facilities for our other sports so that they can compete. And, you know, we've been very fortunate. We've been able to build the Rhodes Soccer Stadium within the last couple of years and put lights there this year, which allows us to do a lot of night games, which is very important in soccer. And of course, Michael Jordan Stadium here in baseball, and we've been able to redo the wrestling complex and a variety of other facilities. And it's just part of our plan to stay modern, to stay competitive, and do it in a way that not simply to enhance the stadium, but to do it something that will last over decades. And again, that's why we're so proud of the facilities that we've been able to create.
Jeff Dietz at the plate, 2-0 the count to him with two aboard and one run across. That one is fouled off the third base side to make it 2-1. And the spirit of Bill Michaeljohn, obviously extremely generous in his donations, but there's so many other guys that you see coming out and supporting the program, so many enthusiastic alumni that really, I guess, characterize the spirit of former grads here that enjoyed their athletics when they were here.
Well, the interesting thing about Penn, and this is true throughout the Ivy League, is that almost every student athlete who's played has benefited because of the generosity of alumni, and they understand that when they're students here. They appreciate it, they understand it. A lot of the special things that they're able to do are due to those gifts. So hopefully when they go on and graduate and start their careers, that they think in terms of philanthropy, because they know the opportunities that they were given when they were students. And, you know, over the last 10 years, we've raised well over $80 million. Seems like that all of their hits here are grounders that are flying the hole. So, you know, I don't know, but the score doesn't look good, but it's not necessarily because the pitcher is not making good pitches.
That one was lined through the hole between third and short by Jeff Dietz to drive in another one. 2-0 now the score as Brian Tews comes across, and it's been a very successful winter season for Penn Athletics. A couple teams competing in postseason competition. Now the spring coming forward and the lacrosse championships are coming up, which Penn is a big part in sponsoring.
Well, we are. We are the host of the NCAA lacrosse championships, which is now officially the largest NCAA outdoor championship that exists. We should have, again, over 100,000 spectators over the 3 days, and probably will set records both for individual days and collective days. And, you know, the neat thing is I'm also very superstitious, so I'm careful to say this, but our lacrosse team today, by beating number 2 Cornell, has positioned ourselves to be definitely in the hunt for an NCAA bid. And that would be wonderful if we could be hosting the championships and have Penn participate. And, again, it's a little too early to start thinking about that, but kudos to Brian Volker and the team today for really an absolutely outstanding win over Cornell.
And last year, I mean, it was just so exciting with Lincoln Financial Field serving as the venue, around 40 to 45,000 fans in attendance, great national exposure on ESPN as it's Devin Thomas at the plate taking strike one again. 2-0 the score, two runs across for Brown, none out here in the top of the first. So if fans want to get involved, maybe come out and see that, just visit PennAthletics.com.
Absolutely, and I would say tickets are going very quickly. The entire lower bowl of Lincoln Financial Field is already sold out. Although that's such a wonderful stadium, there is not a bad seat. And sounds like what we talk about when we talk about the Pluster, that there's not a bad seat. But really, it's a fantastic venue, and it's wonderful for lacrosse as well. But seats are going quickly, and fans have the opportunity to either buy a strip for all 3 days, which is the semifinals for Division One, the finals for Division One on Monday, and then the Division Two and Division Three championships on Sunday. So it's really the best of lacrosse, and it's a wonderful tournament, and lacrosse is growing in popularity. We're just pleased that the NCAA honored us by allowing us to be the host.
Well, it should be an exciting finish to the scholastic year, so thanks so much for stopping by and for the hard work. We're looking forward to see how the lacrosse championship turns out as well, and for this project here at now officially Michaeljohn Stadium.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it very much.
All right, Steve Bilski, director of Penn Athletics, stopping by. As to 2-2 count on Brown's Devin Thomas. Again, two runs across already. Two are on board. It is Danny Hughes up at second, and Jeff Dietz is on first. Again, Steve Schwartz, the starter for the Penn Quakers, and Steve Schwartz on the season, coming in here. With an overall ERA of 8.53, he's 1-2. Pitch is outside and a little bit high, and it's 3-2. Devin Thomas in the first game went 1-4, and he scored a run. Batting left, calls time, steps out. And again, as you heard Steve Bilski say in that interview, that Brown's bats seem to be putting the ball in the perfect spots, right between the holes on either side of the infield. And the 3-2 on the way. That one's popped up high to the right side, way high in the sky, as Abbott comes in shallow on the infield grass, gets underneath it, and makes the play for out number one. First batter of time, and that brings up Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy hitting at 3-10, coming into the second game. The first game went 2-3, tied for a team-high 2 RBIs, and he scored 2 runs, batting from the left side, with 2 aboard for Brown. They have 2 across, and a curveball on the outside corner, strike 1 to Schwartz. Talked about how well lefties hit Brett Wiles in the previous game at 382. Well, against Schwartz, they have some success as well at 355. Here's the pitch from Murphy. He lines it high and foul off the third base side, so the count goes 0-2. Again, Murphy, maybe the last threat in this middle part of the Brown Bears order, where they have a couple hitters starting from Jeff Dietz, Devin Thomas, and now with Ryan Murphy, 4-6. Just really have the potential to power the ball, and most of them are lefties, pulling it down the right side. But the outfield is shaded slightly to the left. 0-2 from Schwartz. That one's in the other left. Carl Almaney should have a beat on it. Backtracking to the wall, moving back. The wind's blowing it over his glove. It's in play. One run is going to score at least. Coming around for Brown, that's Danny Hughes. Also being waved around is Jeff Dietz. He dives in to make it a 4-0 game with one down. Here in the top of the first. So the wind is blowing fiercely now, straight out to the east, and that one was right in the pocket of where the winds were blowing, and it carried it right over the glove of Kyle Armony and into play at the warning track. So that brings up Eric Larson. Pair of RBIs for Murphy, so already matching his total from the first game. And he's at second with a bases-clearing double. First pitch to Larson, grounded into the dirt, outside and low, ball and no strikes. Eric Larson, his struggles continued in the last game, not really doing much, just 1-3. But again, for him, coming into the season, hitting at 244 after a year, when it was 350, every piece of hitting counts as Sean Abbott comes in for the Quakers, the first baseman senior, talking things over with the sophomore, Steve Schwartz. And taking a look at Steve Schwartz, spending the summer with the Bayside Yankees American Legion team, and because of his efforts there, he was named one of the faces in the crowd for Sports Illustrated. The 1-0 curveball right there for a strike, 1-1. Larson hitting right, getting the start in center field for Brown. And the 1-1 pitch, grounded, a chopper to short. Over the glove, it skips past the mitt of Scott Graham into the left center field, rounding third. And coming on the score for Brown, it's going to be Devin Thomas. Excuse me, that's Ryan Murphy who placed the run. And it's now a 5-0 game, still 1-0. Now Josh Korn will trot up to the mound to chat with Steve Schwartz. So an RBI single for Eric Larson. He's had 1 RBI. They're only going to give him an error. That's the official ruling. An E6. Well, that brings up Brown's Dan Shapiro getting the start at third base in this game, relieving Matt Nuzzo. Throwing one the count to him, short sets. And serves up the 0-1, grounded back past the left side of the mound, scooped through the glove of Graham, stays with it, touches second one, back to first, throws Abbott off the bag. So they did get the second out of the inning. That was the lead base runner, retired, in Eric Larson. After he reached on the error from Graham. So Graham was a tough play for him to make as he stayed in front of it. Went to second base to Doug Brown for out number two. On first be the fielder's choice is Dan Shapiro. Pitch on the way to the right-handed hitting Robert Pappenhaus is on the outside corner, strike one. For this second game, Jerry Bolagitz is behind the plate. Tom Beck goes to the field. Running on the play is Shapiro. There's a chopper backing up on it as Graham makes the stop. Strong throw to first. It's in time to make a play. Great play by Scott Graham. He had a couple hard hit balls right at him. That one took a funny bounce on the dirt. He stayed in front of it, stabbed it, and then swung a throw across the diamond in time, just in time, to get Robert Pampinas. However, Brown bats through the order, 9 up, and they put 5 runs on the scoreboard on 5 hits, an error committed by the Quakers. And it's a 5-0 game going into the bottom of the first. Setting the lineup for a pen, leading off Joey Bowen. Josh Korn follows him as the catcher. Kyle Almond, the left fielder, bats third. Timmy May, the designated hitter, doing the cleanup duties. Tony Moses now back in right field. After 2 games on the bench, he bats 5th. Batting 6th, Sean Abbott at first base. 7th, Alex Nowaka, shifting down a spot from the first game. He's at 3rd, batting 8th again is Scott Graham at shortstop. And Doug Brown is at 2nd base, batting 9th. Defensively for Brown, left to right in the outfield, Ryan Murphy, Eric Larson, and Paul Christian. Paul Christian, he was at 2nd base in the first game, now moving back a couple steps to graze the outfield grass. Dan Shapiro at 3rd, Robert Pappenhaus at short. Brian Tews, the starting pitcher from the previous game, moves back to 2nd base. They want to keep his bat at the lineup as he comes into this game, hitting at 405. And at 1st base is Danny Hughes. Danny Hughes was the previous right fielder. Devin Thomas is behind the plate, and doing the pitching for the Brown Bears is Sean McNamara. Sean McNamara, the 6'3", 215-pound senior right-hander from Worcester, Massachusetts, out of Holy Name High School. This is his 4th game, his 4th start. He's 0-2 on the year with an 8.27 ERA, 16 and a third innings pitch, 19 runs, 15 earned, 15 strikeouts, 8 walks. But he does have a tendency to give up a long ball. 3 home runs hit off of the senior Sean McNamara so far this season. Joey Bowen at the plate. Joey Bowen in the previous game with a solid effort. 3 of 4, 2 RBIs, 2 runs scored himself. He also had 3 putouts. He's upped his average now back up above 300 at 316 coming into this game. He bats left. Some crowd cover here at Michael John Stadium as we start the bottom half of the first inning. And the first pitch served up by Sean McNamara is strike 1 on the outside corner. And left-handed hitting, Joey Bowen. McNamara's 2nd pitch, swung on and swatted high to right field. But coming in to make the play was Paul Christian. He misjudged it at first, had to backpedal after he came in. So that's out number 1.
Josh Korn.
Josh Korn stands in. Hitting at 377 in the last game, going 2 of 4 with 3 RBIs. He did hit that monstrous home run over the left center field fence and right at the Michael John Stadium scoreboard in the outside corner, a strike on a fastball from McNamara. A good portion of the crowd remaining to see the 2nd game of this doubleheader. 0-1 pitch upcoming to Korn. That one is clobbered down the right field line, and it curves just foul and out of play. Quigley goes 0-2 on Josh Korn. Josh Korn, the Stanford transfer, didn't play while he was with the Cardinal. He had an 11-game hit streak snapped on the 26th of March, last Sunday at Columbia. In St. Joe's, he went 2-3, and that last game again, 3-4. Pitch on the way, just off the outside corner with an off-speed pitch. It goes to 1-2. The right-handed hitting catcher, Josh Korn. Kyle Armony to follow, one down here in the bottom of the first. 5-0 the score with Brown up on top. McNamara serves, and it's grounded back middle just to the right and a 2nd base bag. 3rd base hit, so Korn inside out to that one and gets on board with one down. And for Josh Korn, that is his 27th hit on the year, leading the club in that category. And that brings up Kyle Armony. Kyle Armony, 1 hit in the previous game, striking out twice. He has to prove to be a very tough Brian Tews. And the first pitch to him is, well, they're going to say there was a balk at the mound. So Sean McNamara made an illegal move at the hill, and that advances Josh Korn up to second base. So a runner in scoring position with one down here in the bottom of the first for Penn. So Carl Army still waiting his first pitch from Sean McNamara. McNamara almost has a tight ends build for football. A real big guy. In at 215 pounds. And a pitch on the way to Armony outside corner strike on a fastball. So McNamara seems to be working the outside portions of the plate early on. McNamara sets. And with Korn on second, serves up the 0-1. That one is grounded foul off the left side of the plate. Looks like a piece of the ball might have nicked Armony on the foot, shaking out his right foot. He knew that was a pitch that he possibly could have hit. It was hanging out over the plate, but it did have a nice curve on it, cutting inside. Oh, and 2 is the catch of Kyle Armony with Josh Korn, the starting catcher, at second base. He reached on a single and then advanced on the balk from McNamara. And the 0-2 on the way, that one is ripped to right field. Will fall in third base. Hit it does. Being held up at third is Josh Korn, so the Quakers have runners on the edges with one down here in the bottom of the first. So a good sign for Penn to see that the offense is going to work, despite the fact that Brown put up 5 runs in the top of the first. And that brings up the designated hitter, Tim May. Tim May hitting at 308 coming into this second game. Tim went 1-4 with an RBI in the first game. Penn getting the middle of their order up with runners on. And the pitch on the way is there on the outside corner for a called strike. 0-1 is the count to Tim May. Kyle Armony singling, as did Josh Korn, after Joey Bone flied out on a hard line drive to right field for the loan out of this bottom of the first inning. And the 0-1 pitch on the way to Tim May, inside of the knees, 1-1. Tim May is 19th game and 17th start. Just a freshman. It's 1-1. That's the catch to McNamara. Sends it in and swatting it foul off the right side was Tim May. Making it 1-2. Interesting to see what maybe they'll do with Kyle Armony down at first base. Maybe they'll send a run to have him advance to second with that base open and Josh Korn at first. Kyle Armony thrown out in his lone stealing attempt this year. Outfield playing straight away for Tim May. Korn on third, and Armony is on first. 5-0 the score, and the 1-2 pitch is low in the dirt outside, 2-2. Sean McNamara taking a look at his past couple outings. His last one came against Virginia Military Institute on the 27th of March, and no decision in 7 2/3 of an innings pitched. 5 runs, 3 of them earned, as that one is grounded slowly to the right side, charging as the first baseman huge. He's running the first base bag, and he underhands in time to McNamara to make the play, but one run does come home to make it a 5-1 game. Scoring is Josh Korn. Advancing up to second is Kyle Armony. So they're still running in scoring position for Penn. With 2 down, and that brings up the right-handed hitting right fielder, Tony Moses. Tony Moses, he had a 9-game hit streak snapped back on the 29th of March at Villanova. Didn't start against St. Joe's, didn't start in the first of this game. And the pitch on the way is down outside. 1-0 is the count to Tony Moses. Tony Moses on the year hitting at 302, 5 doubles, and 13 RBI. Kyle Armony up at second base, 1-1 across for Penn. here in the bottom of the first. They trail by 4-5-1. And the first pitch on the way to Moses. Well, excuse me, the second pitch is up and inside. It's 2 balls and no strikes. On deck, Sean Abbott, should Moses reach. Heck now sets up at the back right shoulder and serves the 2-0. That one is ripped to the hot corner, but a good stab by Dan Shapiro. A strong throw is pulled off the bag, and that means that Sonny Moses reaches first base and advancing to the third is Kyle Armoney. That brings Sean Abbott to the plate. They're going to get the error on the third baseman, Dan Shapiro. So Kyle Armoney at the corner at third. The first base corner is Tony Moses for Sean Abbott. Sean Abbott went 1-of-3 in the last game with a single back up the middle to center field. That was his sixth hit on the year. Abbott batting left, getting the start at first base. 2 down, bottom of the first, pitch on the way, swing and a miss. An off-speed pitch down inside. So it's one of these games you have the feeling that Abbott is going to take hold of one and hit one very, very hard, and that will hopefully really ignite his offensive troubles. 0-1, pitch on the way, and that skips up and it hits Sean Abbott. It gets him on the front right ankle, so he will trot up to first base. Moving to second for Penn is Tony Moses. And staying at third is Kyle Armoney. So we saw in the last game how when there were two out for Penn in the bottom of the fifth inning, there were two out, there was a walk, and there was also an error committed by the Brown infield, and that then sparked a four-run, two-out rally for the Red and Blue, and we'll see what happens here as the Bears head coach, Merrick Drabinski, comes out to talk things over with Sean McNamara. Brown wearing a different uniform set here in the second game. They went with the brown mesh jersey in the first game with gray pants. In this second game, they have a gray top that's cut off at the sleeves with a brown undershirt underneath. But they're still with that brown cap with the brown B on the front, but it's a little bit more of an italicized B than in the first game for the Penn Quakers. They're still in their white pants and their blue mesh jerseys, Penn and blue across the front. And the pitch is on the outside corner at the waistline of Alex Nowaka for strike one. At third base, Penn is Kyle Armoney. At second, Tony Moses. And at first is Sean Abbott. McNamara sets. And he sends in the 0-1 to Nowaka down in the dirt outside. A ball and a strike. Alex Nowaka in the last game held hitless in 3 at-bats. He came in with 10 hits in his 23 at-bats prior to the first game. Looking to catch fire once again here in the second. 1-1 to Nowaka as he chases a fastball outside. It's 1-2. Pulled his back foot off that one. So the Quakers have the bases loaded here in the bottom of the first. One run already across to make it 5-1. There are two out, and it's a 1-2 count on the right-handed hitting third baseman, Alex Nowaka. Time is called. Brannigan picking up their first win of the season the last game. 9-6 victory over the Penn Quakers. They are now 1-12. Penn's losing streak extended to 5 games. The 1-2 pitcher on the way. Swing and a miss by Nowaka. Looks like he got a tip of it, went in the glove of Brown catcher Devin Thomas for the third out of the inning. So the Quakers, they get a run on 2 hits. There was an error committed, but the big number is that Penn strands 3. The bases were left loaded as we go up to the top of the second inning with the score 5-1. The Brown Bears lead it 5-4. Brown will start at the top of the order to begin the top of the second inning. All 9 of their hitters appeared at the plate in the first inning. That resulted in 5 runs. Again, prior to Penn, Brown lost to Greensboro College by a score of 12-10. They fell at Davidson 7-6. Blown out at Elon 16-8. losing at High Point as well, 2-1. And Virginia Military Institute, 7-6 on the 26th of March, and 7-6 again on the 27th. So you can see right there, the Bears, they've come very, very close to pulling off some wins. And it was maybe only a matter of time until they broke through, which they did. The offense was alive for Brown with 9 runs in the first game. All but one of those 9 runs were earned. Steve Schwartz getting ready for his second inning of work on the mound for the Penn Quakers. A tough inning for him. His previous appearance came back on the 26th of March in the first game of the doubleheader at Columbia. It was a no decision. 5 innings pitched, 12 hits, 8 runs allowed. 6 of those were earned, 4 walks surrendered, and 1 strikeout. Paul Christian leads off for the Bears, hitting right, and he singled and scored his first time through. Hitting at 348 on the year is Christian. And the pitch, that is grounded through the gap between third and short on the left side and into left field for a base hit. So a pair of singles to start the game for Paul Christian. On the first pitch, he turned on that one. And that brings up Brian Tews. Well, Brian Tews is showing himself to me maybe the most impactful player on the afternoon. His starting pitching for Brown kept the Quakers under wraps for the most part. In that first game, he also had some good offense. Tews was again 3-4 in the first game with 2 RBIs and 2 runs scored. Throw back to first by Schwartz there in time. It is Christian. Christian does like to go. He's stolen one base, but he's been caught 4 times. Tews awaits the first pitch. And another throwback to first by Schwartz. Again, the second game of the doubleheader. This one is a 9-inning outing, whereas the first was 7. Pitch on the way. That one is hit sharply again through the hole on the left side. Another single for the Brown Bears, taking a turnaround second and heading to third. But he's tagged out was Paul Christian. A good relay throw in as the tag was placed down by Alex Nowaka as the Quakers erase the lead base runner for the Brown Bears.
For the base man, number 23,
Danny Hughes. So Kyle Armony coming up with a good cannon throw right there to get it in time. Matt Drabinski, the head coach and third base coach for Brown, was the one that waved around Paul Christian, so Tews is aboard. He has 2 singles, just like the batter that preceded him, Paul Christian, but he is the lone base runner with 1 out here in the top of the second. Pitch on the way, swing and a miss on a fastball high and outside by Danny Hughes, who singled and scored his first time through. So the defense trying to pick up and keep things as they are. It's a 5-1 game. Schwartz, a curveball, up and high. A ball and a strike. Talking about Steve Schwartz, he had a tough last appearance against Columbia when he let in 8 runs, 6 earned, but the previous 3, just 4 runs and 10 and 2-thirds of an innings pitched. And a swing and a miss by Hughes, 1 and 2. Crowd's coming a little bit more heavily here for the second game. Towards the end of the first, the sun was out in full force. A little bit darker the second one as the 1-2 breaking ball bounces inside. Good stop by Corn to prevent Brian Tews from possibly advancing. Count even at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Steve Short sets and gets ready for the sign from Josh Corn. And the 2-2 on the way. Inside, called strike 3. Crowding the plate was Danny Hughes. But that one was painted perfectly on the inside corner. And Danny Hughes just takes a frustrated walk back to the Brown dugout. Great pitch by Steve Schwartz. Hughes' presence close to the plate didn't bother him at all. Jeff Dietz at the dish. Got to hit his first time up. He scored as well. Lays off a breaking ball over the plate. 1 ball and no strikes. Jeff Dietz, his average at 419, staying the same as it was in the first game. He's 1-4 and scored a run. In the first outing, as he turns on that one, tees off deep to center field, thrown back to the track, one hop off the fence. Landing second for the Bears is Tews being waved around. Tews is going to scamper home and score, and it's 6-1 in favor of Baron, standing at second with a stand-up double is Jeff Dietz. Six to one, down by five. That RBI coming with two down here in the top of the second. And that brings up Devin Thomas, the catcher, batting left. And the pitch on the way. There's a curveball that flies up and outside. A ball and no strikes. And the 1-0 pitch, that one is struck high and foul down the left field side and out of play. One ball and one strike. And for this, Brown has a doubleheader against the University of Rhode Island Rams on the 5th of April. They come back and play a doubleheader against Princeton next Saturday at home and Cornell at home on the 9th. Those are going to be the first home games for Brown on the season as Schwartz misses again. Counts 1-1. Devin Thomas at the plate, and he steps out, takes time. Well, I guess they didn't give it to him, so he stepped out, and Schwartz placed it right over the plate, and it's a ball and two strikes. So Devin Thomas down 1-2 in the count with two down, pitch on the way, and that one is hit hard to center field, way back it goes, off the wall. Coming around the score is Jeff Dietz. It's 7-1, and at second with a double, the second in a row for the Brown Bears, is Devin Thomas. So Devin Thomas got a good rip at that one. Scott Graham, the shortstop for Penn, the sophomore, comes into chat with Steve Schwartz, and Josh Korn comes out to talk as well. So 5 runs in the top of the first for Brown and 2 here in the top of the second, making it a 7-1 game. Hitting next for Brown is Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy hitting from the left side. He's going to start in left field. Brown had a lot of doubles coming into the afternoon. 15 as a team. And a couple more from that first game. They had 3, 18, and now 2 in this game. They have 20 on the year. Has a curveball from Schwartz on the inside corner at the belt buckle. 0-1 is the count to Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy, a double, an RBI, and he scored his first time up. As he pulls off a nice one, swinging and missing, it's 0-2. Got 2 RBIs on that double. 2 more runs have come across for Brown. 7-1. Schwartz serves the 0-2. Swing and a miss. A bad at bat for Ryan Murphy. Seemed like he had no interest in being up at the plate. 3 pitches and a strikeout for Steve Schwartz as he swung through that one. So we go to the bottom of the second. It's a 7-1 Brown lead. They come up with a couple more off of some big connections. They had 4 hits. However, Schwartz did record 2 strikeouts. Might have been worse had Penn not gotten Paul Christian gambling around the second base bag after the single hit by Brian Tews. Christian could have safely held at second and could have guaranteed himself being on and possibly scoring when Jeff Dietz drilled a double 2 batters later, but he tried for third base and he was thrown out, Harmony to Nowaka. However, the Bears did gain 2 more, and it's a 7-1 game, a 6-run cushion for Sean McNamara as we head to the bottom of the second inning. For the Quakers, they'll have Scott Graham, Doug Brown, and Joey Bowen coming up. Brown loving to build on that strong season a year ago when they went 14-6 in the Ivy League, the most wins on the conference campaign for the Brown Bears. Their coach, Marek Drabinski, he has led them to 5 20-win seasons in the last 10 years and a nice run of four straight from 1999 through 2002. Graham, a leadoff for Penn. Scott Graham scored a run in the first duel between these two teams. Dulwich, though, came into the afternoon with six hits in its last nine at-bats. Four RBIs since getting his first start in the second game against Columbia on March the 26th. Graham batting from the right side. Wind now has changed direction. It's varied between blowing to the north. That's how it started off early in the morning. Then it went out to the east. Now it's back to the north as Graham slices one back foul to the screen. No balls and a strike. Pockets of sun here at Michael John Stadium. Good amount in center field and in right. The clouds and coming in from the west. The shadows working that way as well. For as much rain as they were calling for today, seemed like Michael John Stadium just had one big bucket poured on it for about a 35-minute period at around 12:30 earlier this afternoon, and we got out of that one, resumed play rather quickly. Ball outside, it's 1-1 to Graham, and here's the pitch from McNamara. That one is sent high in the air down the right field side, tailing foul and giving chase was Danny Hughes. It was nowhere near that one. Tough to judge for visiting players over on that right sideline because the foul line cuts off rather close to the screen on the side by the water filtration facility. Same thing in the left field corner. In fact, the foul line works its way right down into the corner of the wall. There's no space. Here's a 1-2 on the way to Graham. And it's on the outside corner. Backdoor fastball from McNamara. Called strike three, so McNamara. That is his second strikeout in the first out of the inning here in the bottom of the second, bringing up Doug Brown. If you weren't with us for the first game, Doug Brown got the start at second, and Scott Graham got the start at short. Those two flipped roles from the game against St. Joe's on Wednesday when Scott Graham was at short and Doug Brown was at second. And the first pitch to Brown is hurled well outside and low. It's 1-0 to Doug Brown. Doug Brown on the season, one hit in six at-bats. Again, this is just his fourth game in terms of his offense. Slow rolling ground ball to short. Papenhuis picks it up, throws Hughes off the bag, but Hughes hauls it in and makes the tag on Doug Brown in time. So that's the second out. Good play by Papenhuis to charge. The grass seemed to be slowing the path of the ball down, but he raced in, gobbled it up, and made a strong throw. Again, wide to the right of the base, but Hughes picked it up and put down the tag. Joey Bowen at the plate, flying out to right. His first time up. Joey Bowen, a 519 slugging percentage, is your leadoff hitter. As he grounds one, a bounding ball to first base, Danny Hughes makes the play and touches the bag unassisted. So for the Penn Quakers, three up, three down, in the bottom of the second, back up to the top of the third, where the red-hot Brown Bats come back to work. They had five in the top of the first, two in the top of the second, and they lead 7-1.
The following corporate partners for their continued support. After Cheesecake, Chili Bar and Grill, Comcast Sportsnet, Commerce Bank, Bacon Familia, Beacon S10, Holiday Inn, Philadelphia Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, Pico, Pepsi,
Steven Schwartz back out to work for Penn.
United Healthcare.
Again, in two innings so far, nine hits allowed, seven runs. Schwartz in 2005 went 32 and two-thirds of an innings pitched. He had a 1-5 record, which is a 4.13 ERA, and 22 strikeouts. One of the great games he pitched was against Villanova on the road in Plymouth White Marsh last year. That was really the coming out party for Steve Schwartz. A great curveball working. And from there on out, former head coach Bob Seddon used him regularly. Of Quakers upcoming, mid-games this week against Lafayette and Villanova, Harvard next weekend. And Penn trying to get as many wins as it can here at home. Coming into this game, they are 3-3 here at Michael John Stadium. It's just the road has, it's presented problems the past couple of years. The way this year, they're 2-9. Last year, well, they were just 1-14 on foreign turf. Leading off, Eric Larson. He reached on an error by Scott Graham his first time up. Pitch on the way, pounded high to center field, way back. That is a chance, and that one will go, a home run for Eric Larson. He launched it straight away around 400 feet back if the screen would have added any more distance. And it's an 8-1 game. Brown again tabbing on another run for the third inning in a row to start this game. And for Larson, it's his first home run of the year. Eric Larson, a junior, displaying some awesome power right there. Deepest part of the park. And that brings up Dan Shapiro. He takes strike one on the inside corner, left-handed inning third baseman. Has an error against him already in this game. He reached on a fielder's choice his first time up. The 0-1 pitch is grounded into the dirt and underneath the mitt of Josh Korn. It's a ball and a strike. So Steve Schwartz, after a tough first inning when he allowed five runs, tried to keep plugging away. But Brown's bats, they've been unrelenting so far. And the 1-1 pitch to Shapiro. Again, that one is in the dirt, inside. So Schwartz trying to settle down as dust starting to pick up on the left side of the infield as some strong winds are beginning to breeze through. The 2-1 pitch on the way was a little bit low beneath the knees on the outside. It was close, but still a ball. 3-1. Schwartz winds and serves up the 3-1 pitch inside and in the dirt. 5 pitches and a walk goes to Dan Shapiro. So he's on board again. Nobody out here in the top of the third. It's an 8-1 game. Brown up on top by 7. Showing bunt and batting now for Brown. Robert Heffenhaus, as he puts it down the first base line, it's retrieved by Schwartz. He underhands the first for out number one. But the Bears, they do advance Dan Shapiro up to second base. So a good piece of small ball right there from Robert Heffenhaus. And that's been the strategy for Brown the entire afternoon. Just get a runner on, any runner, and work them ahead through strategic bunting, and then maybe get some of the bigger bats up in the order and let them go to work. And here's one of those big bats in Paul Christian. Hitting a 348, he pops it up back behind the plate, out of play, 0-1. He has two singles so far. He swatted one to right center field and another one to left field. He was out trying to take third base after rounding second off a single from Brian Tews his last time up. Hold one is the count to Paul Christian. Here comes the pitch from Schwartz. He reaches out and goes after a fastball outside, committing. It's 0-2. So this could be a big strikeout here for Schwartz, given that there's one out and there's a runner on second base in Dan Shapiro. 0-2. Schwartz sends it in, and it's chopped back foul by Christian, who stays alive. Count still holds it. No balls and two strikes. Brown is a team, they do strike out a lot, averaging around 9 a game. In the last game, Brett Wallace, he was able to punch out 5 Brown hitters. Pitcher on the way, up high and outside. A ball and 2 is the count to Paul Christian. Talked about the parallels between Paul Christian, the leadoff man for Brown, and that of Joey Bone for Penn. Both hitting for good averages, good slugging percentages. But Christian, he leads the team in RBIs as he takes inside. 2 balls and 2 strikes. So that says a couple things. One, Christian's a pretty good hitter, but it's also that some of the guys at the bottom of Brown's order do a good job of getting on base. 2-2 on the way, and that one is pummeled high in the air towards the right center field gap. Back to the wall goes Moses. It bounces and hits the fence. One run being waved around. That is Shapiro. He scores 9-1, Brown. At second with a double for the Bears is Paul Christian. 3-for-3 in three innings is Paul Christian. And now John Cole walks out of the dugout for Penn. Josh Korn comes to meet him and Steve Schwartz at the mound. And we'll see if we'll have a pitching change with one down here in the top of the third inning. 9 runs on 11 hits for Brown. John Cole looks over his left shoulder to the bullpen. And we'll see if someone's coming out. No, it doesn't look like it. He did not make the signal. It looked like there was a body getting ready to open the door behind the left field fence, but he'll stay back there. Schwartz is going to try and battle through this one. Brian Tews at the plate. He is 2-of-2 with a pair of singles. He has scored twice as well. And the first pitch to him, as he fans on an off-speed pitch, 0-1. It's a shame that you don't get to see a team like Brown again another time this year just to see how some of the players progress over the course of the season, because Tews, he could be primed to really put forth some positive things for Brown in terms of on the mound and hitting as well. He takes outside ball 1-1-1. Again, with baseball, with the weather in the Northeast the way it is, they try and cram in doubleheaders back-to-back. Swing and a miss, another off-speed pitch, so Schwartz gets him in a 1-2 hole. Teams from the Red Wolf division play teams from the Lou Gehrig division twice in a doubleheader. That's what this matchup is, Penn from the Lou Gehrig and Brown from the Red Wolf. But interdivision teams, teams in the Lou Gehrig, that would be intra-division teams, I guess, as the 1-2 is teed off and slapped back up the middle for a base hit, being waved around third and coming in to score for the Bears is Paul Christian, and it's 10-1. Anyhow, so teams within the same divisions, Lou Gehrig and Red Wolf, teams within those divisions, they play each other four times. They play each other four times, but interdivision, it is twice in a single doubleheader. So now John Cole is back out onto the mound, and you would assume this time he is going to make a change. And yes, a Penn reliever is making his way out of the bullpen in left field. We are going to see a switch, so for Steve Schwartz, a disappointing outing when he lasted 2 1/3, giving up 10 runs on 12 hits. And the Quakers, they trail by 9-10-1. Making the long walk from left field, 300 feet. It's going to be Wes Dunauer. Wes Dunauer, he had a great game, a pretty solid game against St. Joe's on Wednesday. He did let in, well, they're going to say he let in 6 runs overall, but just 3 of them were earned. He lasted 3 innings pitched, 7 hits. 1 walk, 2 doubles surrendered. But he's a freshman, a 6'1", 180-pound rookie, southpaw from Lutherville, Maryland, out of the Gilman School, and with Nick Francona, who was Penn's primary left-handed pitcher last year, out for the season with an injury. Wes Dunauer, in just his first year, is really finding himself in a baptism by fire situation and getting used to things, pitching as one of the lone lefties on this Penn staff. So Danny Hughes will bat next for Brown. Tews is on first base after driving home Paul Christian. Christian and Tews, the 1-2 hitters for Brown, they are a devastating 3-of-3 apiece. Again, a little bit more darkness coming in here in Michael John Stadium, as maybe some storms are imminent. But hopefully not. Again, it was great to see that the rain certainly did hold off between these games with clear skies, as Bill Michael John receiving the honor for the stadium now in his name. And you heard Steve Bilski, Penn Athletics Director, talking earlier about just how generous and devoted the Michael John family is to putting money towards the growth and expansion of Penn Athletics and also to the academic pursuits of Penn students. The 1-2, and that one is ripped to right center field, falls in for a base hit. Stopping at second is Twos. At first is Danny Hughes. Hughes is 1-for-2. Strikeout working his last time up, probably by the best pitch of the afternoon by Schwartz. But an inside fastball that completely caught Hughes off guard. 13 hits for Brown already. One out here in the top of the third. And Jeff Dietz drilled a double his last time up. Dunauer's pitch inside corner, fastball strike, and it's 0-1. Dunauer sets, and with the runner on second and on first, he serves up the 0-1, a curveball, it's chopped towards third, Nowaka touches third for one, back across the diamond, a good scoop by Abbott, the 5-3 double play to get Penn out of the top of the third inning. However, Brown, they do add three more to their total, bringing it to 10-1 as we head to the bottom of the third inning. But Nowaka, the past three games, a real good job defensively. He's had some balls struck pretty hard his way, but he has been a rock over at the hot corner. And for Donauer to get Jeff Dietz, the leading hitter on Brown's club, to ground into the double play, that's a good sign. That should hopefully boost his spirits moving forward into the latter stages of this game. Again, he went three innings, did Donauer against St. Joe's. So Sean McNamara back on the hill for the Brown Bears, starting his third inning of work. He's got to love that offense. It's got to be a great opportunity to be a pitcher on Brown's squad, not when you're going up against teams like Florida State and Vanderbilt and those types of games. Brown completed the majority of its non-conference schedule with a collective ERA as a team of 10.48. But against Penn, Brian Twos in the first day game, a good job of just six total runs allowed, and two of them were earned. Just two of Twos' six runs that he yielded were earned. So Twos, a great job in the first game. Again, he had been struggling coming in, and so is McNamara for the most part. Again, an 8.27 ERA, 0-2. So he's looking to work out the kinks going into the conference play. Josh Coyne leads off, batting right. Connected on a single his first time up and moves forward on the base paths on a block. McNamara's first pitch of the inning to Coyne. His right there at the waist for strike one, a good fastball from Sean McNamara. Court single came in the bottom of the first. The lone inning where Penn put up a run. They've won. It's 10-1. That one is turned on and tattooed down the left field line for a base hit. It trickles into the corner. Rounding first is Coyne chugging all the way to second. He stands in with a leadoff double. So maybe that's the right remedy. A good starting point for the red and blue to get things going offensively as it brings up Kyle Armoney. Good job by Coyne to really pull that one hard down the left field line. It was right parallel that left field line as it rolled all the way down the corner. Batting left for the Penn Quakers, Kyle Armoney, the left fielder. Armoney singled his first time up. Brought to our attention, courtesy of Penn manager Matt Coyne, that one more triple for Josh Coyne, and it would be a cycle for the day for Josh Coyne. The 1-0 pitch on the way to Armoney, inside and high at the shoulders, 2-0. And a runner on second for Penn, leading off with the double was Josh Coyne on the season for Coyne. That is his sixth double, tying for a team high with Tim May. Tim May waits on deck. Kyle Armoney is at the plate. It's a 2-0 count to the left-handed hitting left fielder. And the pitcher on the way is up high on that side, 3-0. So it seems like Sean McNamara has no desire to pitch to Carl Armony. Not really coming close, and I would assume that the red light is on for Carl Armony. Three are upcoming, well at an outside, so on four pitches, Kyle Armony draws the walk, walks down to first. So Penn has two aboard with no one out to start in this bottom of the third. Tim May is 0-for-1 standing in, the right-handed hitting designated hitter, grounding out to first base. Going from Hughes to the pitcher, McNamara on the play. Tim May, 1-of-4 in the last game. Hitting safely in 7 of his last 8 games, as that one's on the outside corner for called strike one. We've really blown strong out to left field. The flags waving mightily. That's a ground ball to second base. Twos makes the play. The second one back to first. There's a 4-6-3 double play. Advancing the third is Josh Korn. A good piece of fielding by Twos to quickly start that double play that went to Pampinas at short, then back to Danny Hughes at first. That brings up Tony Moses batting right, playing in right field. Reached on an error by Dan Shapiro back in the first inning. Again, Penn, they had seven appear in that bottom of the first, and they were tied in order in the second. As McNamara missing outside with the fastball, the right-handed hitting Tony Moses. 90 feet away for Penn's second run of the game is Josh Korn. He led off the inning with a double. McNamara lines, and the 1-0 pitch right down the pike, 1-1. Tony Moses held out the past two games against St. Joe's in the first game of this doubleheader against Brown. Hitting well in the year, the 302 hitter, 20 games, all of them have been starts. 1-1 on the way, outside low. 2 balls and a strike. Moses bats with a almost perfectly even stance, feet in line with the shoulders, waves the bat above the back right shoulder, and here comes the 2-1 from McNamara, down low and outside, 3 balls and 1 strike. So McNamara really doesn't seem to have too much control that he's displayed so far. I mean, Penn, they did hit him decently back in the bottom of the first. He had a couple ground balls in the second, and 1 strikeout. Here's the 3-1 from McNamara. That one's popped up high and foul on the first base side. Will it stay in play? Drifting over is Hughes, and he makes the grab. He missed one earlier, but that time he was able to play the wind right, and right in front of the Brown dugout, he makes the catch to retire the side for the red and blue. So they strand one at third base. That was Josh Korn. No runs on 2 hits. No errors. And again, 1 is left on base. We go to the top of the 4th inning. It's a 10-1 Brown Bears lead. The Quakers' pitching has not been able to quiet those bats yet in this game. 5 runs top of the first, 2 runs top of the second, 3 top of the third, but Wes Donauer stays on to hurl for the red and blue. Donauer got the Quakers out of the jam. The inning ended on a 5-3 double play unassisted by Nowaka. Wes Donauer, again, one of the new young rookies on this club, Penn. They have 5 freshmen, 8 sophomores, 8 juniors, and 5 seniors. After so much of their talent, their regular presences in the lineup graduated last spring, all casualties to commencement. For Brown in this inning, it's going to be Devin Thomas, Ryan Murphy, and Eric Larson. There are 5, 6, and 7 hitters for the Bears. Again, the top of the order has just been on fire for Brown. Paul Christian, the leadoff hitter, and Brian Tews, they are both perfect at the plate. Each 3 of 3. And here's Devin Thomas, last time up. He raced a double straight ahead to center field. Got an RBI off it. Bringing up Jeff Dietz. As we work our way to our nearly fifth hour of baseball this afternoon, some sun still trying to squeak through as John Allen misses outside on a curve, 1-0. To the right-handed hitting, Devin Thomas. Thomas at 3-11, and John Allen can't find his range right there again. It is 2-0. Last year, Brown swept Penn. The first game of the doubleheader was in extra innings, 4-3 victory. The second one, they took 6-4. Brown, a team trying to prove that it is on the rise in what is usually a very competitive Red Rolf division in the Ivy League. Pitch on the way. Tomahawk tie and foul down the left field side and off a tree right in front of the train tracks. Well, some say it hit the train. I thought it hit a tree. 3-1 is the count to Devin Thomas. Donnell winds in. The pitch is on the way. That one is belted high and deep to the left field corner, giving chase is Armony. One hop off the wall, rounding first and trying to motor into second. For a double is Devin Thomas, and that's where he stands with no one out to lead off this top of the fourth inning. Another inauspicious start. Brings up Ryan Murphy. Ryan Murphy struck out swinging his last time up in the second. He got a double in the first, two RBIs, and he scored a run. And, I mean, Brown is, yeah, they've been getting their hits, but they have just been placing the ball so well over the course of the afternoon. Not much Penn could do about it. As the pitch is outside and low, I mean, they've either, if they're on the ground, they're through the gaps between third and short or second and first, a couple back up the middle, and then if they're high fly balls, they go to the power alleys or towards the gaps in the corners. Sometimes they leave the park. The 1-0 pitch inside and low. 2-0. Tomorrow, Penn has Yale. A reminder, that game may not be on PennAthletics.com, but you can tune into Yale's athletics website. If you go to YaleBulldogs.com, their game will be carried on the internet. 2-0 pitch, and that one is driven high and deep to right field. Backtrack, and it's Moses, and he makes the grab. He slips at the track, but he makes a great catch, tagging it second and moving to third. For the Bears is going to be Devin Thomas, but that catch prevented the 11th run from scoring, and now I think John Cole is going to jog out to right field to make sure that Tony Moses is all right. But what a catch by Tony Moses. That ball had a lot of zip behind it as he raced back to the wall, flashed some leather, and he snagged it, then slipped as the momentum took him right down to the turf. But Tony Moses, he got back up on his feet. And I think John Cole just wants to talk things over and see what happened on the play. And I think Tony Moses will be all right as John Cole comes back to the dugout. That's the first out of the inning. As that will bring up Ryan Murphy. Again, Devin Thomas, he did tag, and he's now at third base, representing possibly the 11th run for the Brown Bears. Again, Wes Dillnauer, the freshman, on the mound for Penn. And his first pitch on the way to Murphy, and that one is beaten foul. Goes to no balls and a strike. Murphy, again, struck out swinging. He had a double and two RBIs. Excuse me, it's Eric Morrison at the plate. No balls and a strike, one out here in the top of the fourth inning. Dunauer delivers outside corner on a curve. Good pitch to make it an 0-2 count. So Eric Larson is in the hole, and remember, he launched that home run, a two-run home run his last time up, deep to center field. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Grounds one in the dirt outside and low. Good stop by Korn again. There's a run on third. So Korn comes out, puts a hand on the back of Wes Donau and says, hey, settle down. Keep things in mind. There is a runner 90 feet away. It's 1-2 to Eric Larson. And the southpaw for Penn serves up the pitch. It bounces up inside. They say it hit Larson, so the run cannot advance. Backtrack into third is going to be Devin Thomas. But heading up to first, to the runners on the corners, is Eric Larson. He was hit by the pitch from Donauer. And it's, this may, depending on what happens, it could make matters possibly easier for Penn now that there's a runner on first. Maybe a double play. That's what you look for. Keep the ball on the ground. The runner at third. Devin Thomas again is at third. And it looks like we have a pinch hitter. Dan Shapiro's day is done. And coming in is Brian Kelleher. Brian Kelleher, a 5'11", 185-pound sophomore. Utility player out of Farmington, Connecticut. First pitch to him, missing the outside corner. 1-0. So Shapiro, he reached on a fielder's choice and drew a walk in two at-bats. Second pitch is a strike. Shapiro also committed that error in the field, so maybe Barrett Dravinsky not too pleased with the effort put forth by the reserve Shapiro. That one is beaten off the plate and foul behind. It's a ball and two strikes to Brian Kelleher. Donauer sets, and with runners on the corners and one out here in the top of the fourth, pitch on the way, popped up to high right center field, giving chase is Moses, and diving out, sprawling to make the grab was Joey Bowen, but a run does score. A great play by Bowen as he raced in and laid out to make a good catch, but it gave Devin Thomas enough time to come in and touch home plate and tag and score. 11-1, a 10-run lead for Brown. Sacrifice fly for Brian Kelleher as he gets the RBI. And Joey Bowen raced in, dove out, chest to the turf to make the play. And the pitch on the way to Robert Pappenhaus, a strike on the inside corner, 0-1. Inside and low, a ball and a strike. Pappenhaus last time up, grounded. That's a first base, and he grounded short. His first time to the plate. In the first. That one is grounded to shortstop. Backhand stop by Graham to second, and they get him in time. Sliding in to make it a close play was Ryan Murphy, but that's the third out of the inning. A run does come home for Brown. That's their lowest per inning total of the game. Just one run. They scored three in the third, two in the second, five in the first. It's 11-1 game as we go to the bottom of the fourth inning. The Quakers bring Sean Abbott, Alex Nowaka, and Scott Graham to the plate as we start the bottom of the fourth inning. It's an 11-1 game. Sean McNamara remains on the mound for Brown. We talked about how he was touched up at Virginia Military in 7 2/3 of an innings pitched on 8 hits, 5 runs, 3 of them earned, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts, and 2 doubles. But take a look at some of his other outings, maybe not as good. On the 11th of March, he was at Vanderbilt, lasted just 4 1/3 innings, got the loss, 10 hits allowed, 7 runs, 7 earned, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. And he also got a loss on March the 4th at Florida State. Also went 4 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 7 runs, 5 of them earned, 2 walks and 4 strikeouts. For Brown, Brian Kelleher remains in the game. He's at third base, again replacing Dan Shapiro. Sean Everett leads off for Penn. He was hit by a pitch on his right ankle his first time up. Sean Everett, the lefty for Penn, hits righties pretty well. First pitch of the inning, upcoming to Sean Abbott from McNamara, and that one is right down Broadway for a strike. Abbott got a single in the first game. Batting average now at 107. The 1-0 pitch. Jammed him inside, and he's fouled off on the first baseline. 0-2, Abbott quickly behind in the count against Sean McNamara. And again, McNamara, again, his season hasn't been great so far with an 8.27 ERA, but again, he's a senior, and he wants to put forth the right message in this opening weekend of Ivy play for Brown, as he's got an 0-2 count on Abbott, as Abbott laces it back to the screen. Realizes that he is, yes, in the veteran role. And it's also another good sign that there have been some other pitchers on this Brown staff struggling. When you see guys like Brian Tews come in, and depending on what Sean McNamara can do, if it remains the way the game is going, those guys can say to their fellow teammates, well, hey, we were able to get through some early season struggles. Time to turn it on for conference play. 0-2, Abbott chases and fouls it off the left side of the screen. So the count holds at no balls and two strikes. McNamara did come in with a team-high 15 strikeouts. 2005, he went 3-1 with a 4.96 ERA. Team-high 5 wins in 2004. So he has a track record that's been very good up in Providence, but just some early season struggles. And I think, as we're seeing in this game, as the pitch is down and inside, 1-2 is the count to Abbott. I think what we're seeing is the fact that, again, it's been mentioned before, but things, numbers, and stats, they have a way of being skewed depending on the type of competition you face at a conference. 1-2 on the way from McNamara to Abbott inside, just missing the corner. Round catcher Devin Thomas was ready to send that ball around the horn, thinking it was called strike three. But it was not. It was not, said the home plate umpire Jerry Bolligitz. Here comes the pitch to Abbott. It's a curveball that goes underneath the knees. Three balls and two strikes. The count is run full to Sean Abbott. Sean Abbott battling back after being down 0-2 in the count. A 3-2 from McNamara. Swung on and swatted high to left field. We'll see if the wind carries it. Back to the wall goes Murphy. And he's there to make the play. And it went the opposite way with it, just not enough behind it. It's out number one here in the bottom of the fourth. Alex Nowaka will come to the plate for Penn with his Quakers trailing by a score of 11-1. Nowaka hitting at 278 on the season. 22 hits. He's got 8 RBIs. That matches the number on the back of his jersey. He takes strike one outside corner as he grits his teeth, showing a sign of disagreement. He struck out on a foul tip his first time up in the first. McNamara into the line, and the 0-1 pitch tried to go outside again, but missed low and away. Outfield playing back against, outfield playing back against Alex Nowaka. The 1-1 on the way, as he lays off one low, 2 balls and a strike. Center field again playing pretty deep, as is the outfield, I think respecting the wind factor, and also that Nowaka has proven that he has some pop the past couple games, and he drills that one deep to center field. Going back on it is Larson, and Larson watches it hit off the top of the wall. Nowaka going to second. That's where he'll stop a stand-up double with one down here in the bottom of the fourth. Again, the center field fence, part of it goes up high, if you can envision this, going from the left and right field corners. It kind of converges towards center field, and there's maybe a span of, oh, what do you want to say, maybe 50 feet in the middle of the wall where the center field fence rises up what looks to be about 10 feet higher than the left and right field wall. And if that were hit at any other point on the wall, not towards center field, that probably would have been a home run. But there's Alex Nowaka at second base, standing in one of the last patches of sun, with a one-out double. Over the plate is Scott Graham. Scott Graham at the plate again, 0-1 the count to him. Graham struck out working his first time up. That was back in the second. The 0-1 pitch on the way to Scott Graham. Outside corner missing. Faking a throwback to second was the catcher Devin Thomas. Again, Alex Nowaka, team high 6 steals. He has the best speed on the squad. Quakers in the dugout on the third base side. Brown on the first. It's a 1-1 count to Graham with an open stance. He checks swings but went around. On a slider outside low, it's 1-2. Graham went 0-3 in the first game, cooling somewhat after coming off a hot stretch when he went 6-9 coming into this afternoon. It's a 1-2 count. And the pitch from McNamara is ground into the right side. Make a move on it. It is twos. He comes up with a low throw, but it's dug out of the dirt by Danny Hughes. Advancing to third with two outs is Alex Nowaka. That brings up Doug Brown, a chance to bring home a run with two away here in the bottom of the fourth. Doug Brown grounded a short his first time up. Brown batting right, playing at second. And the first pitch to him, outside corner for a strike. Again, Penn lost the first game to Brown by a score of 9-6. And the 0-1 pitch on the way to Brown, up high and outside. Ball to strike. Doug Brown being removed from the bullpen the past couple games. He gave Penn some defense in the field. And that one is sent high and foul on the first base side. Off the screen, it deflected right to Brown's first baseman, Danny Hughes. But you can't play him off the walls. It's 1-2. Doug Brown in the 9-hole. At third base is Alex Nowaka. He had a one-out double to deep center field off the wall. Here's the 1-2 pitch on the way to Brown, outside and high over the helmet. Two balls and two strikes. So Brown, again, wanting to work with a cautious eye here, because if he could get on first base, that would bring up Joey Bone. And Joey Bone, although he's 0-2 in this game, he went 3-4 in the last game. Pitch on the way, good cut, and solid contact by Brown, but it's foul off the right side. It's two balls and two strikes. That's still the count to Doug Brown. But just as a really enjoyable storyline, seeing some of these not necessarily freshman new faces come in for Penn, guys like Doug Brown and Josh Korn. Joey Bowen, another one. 2-2 pitch, chases a breaking ball down that side. He goes around swinging, and that does it for Penn. In the bottom of the fourth, they strand Alex Nowaka at third base, and as we go to the top of the fifth, it's still an 11-1 game in favor of the Brown Bears. Again, it's one of those things where I think Coach Cole for Penn values the defense that Doug Brown can bring to the lineup. But it's just a matter of being patient now and letting him find his stride and stroke on offense. Wes Donauer back on the mound for Penn. This is going to be his third inning of work. For Brown, they're going to have Devin Thomas, Ryan Murphy, two very dangerous hitters, due up, and that's followed by Eric Larson. Excuse me, they're going to have the top of the order, it looks like, with Paul Christian. Pardon that error. Paul Christian, Brian Tews, and Danny Hughes. An even more menacing part of the order for Brown. They are the 1-3 hitters. Christian and Tews, both a perfect 3-3. So we'll see if Wes Delnauer getting his first stab at these two. We'll see what he can do with them. Christensen, a power right-handed hitter, starting second baseman. Can be a starting second baseman. He's also playing some right field. Takes a curveball outside corner for a strike. Donauer deals the 0-1 pitch, and that one is popped up. Shallow infield right side. Charging is Abbott. Foul ground makes the play. Out number one. So there's the first time that Christian has been retired here in the second game. And a lot tougher for those righties to hit lefties. And we'll see if Donauer will be the solution against Brian Tews. Tews again 3-3. A couple RBIs. Three singles after a great outing in the first game. He did allow 6 runs, only 2 were earned. The first pitch to him is just underneath the knees, inside. 1-0 is the count to Tews. 1-0 pitch outside corner as Doze come back the other way. Ball and a strike. Here comes the 1-1, underneath the glove of Korn inside. 2 balls and 1 strike. Just a great starting 6 of that order for the Brown Bears. All of them hitting it above 300. Christensen, Tews, Hughes, Dietz, Thomas Murphy. 2-1 pitch off the plate outside. 3-1. Donauer thought he had it. Home plate umpire. Jerry Bolligat said that he didn't. 3-1 on the way, off the plate outside again. So, 5 pitches and a walk to number 5, Brian Tews, as he's on board at first. There's one down here at the top of the 5th, 11-1 the score, Brown leading Penn. Danny Hughes comes on. Last thing you want to do is walk batters in this part of the order. As this allows another one the opportunity to get to the plate. Danny Hughes batting left, facing another lefty, as Donauer runs him up inside. But again, Hughes really does crowd the plate a lot. It's 1-0. And the pitch, and that one is ripped to right field, way back, and that one will go! A home run, a 2-run shot for Danny Hughes. Just over the top of the yellow lining. On the green right field fence, 13-1, Brown leading by 12. So for Danny Hughes on the season, that is home run number 3. How about that? The top 3 hitters in Brown's lineup, each with 3 home runs. 2 runs batted in for Hughes. And there's still just one out here in the top of the 5th. Runs in every inning so far for the Bears. Jeff Dietz at the plate, inside corner strike on a fastball. And it's 0-1, the count to him. That one is clobbered high and deep, right center field, way back. That one is off the wall. Joey Bone misread it. He chases up to it in time. He's going to laser the throw in. And that will hold Jeff Dietz at second base. So for Dietz, that is his 3rd hit and his 2nd double. Anyhow, going back to it, Wes Donauer, that was the 2nd home run hit off of him this year. He also has a tendency to give up doubles. Now, tied for the team lead. 9 doubles surrendered so far. And that brings to the plate Devin Thomas. Pitch on the way. That side low. One ball and no strikes. And at second base, it's Jeff Dietz. He just had a double. And here's the 1-0 pitch. Underneath the knees, it's two balls and no strikes. So now in relief of the sophomore Steven Schwartz. And the 2-0 pitch. Missing again outside, 3-0. Devin Thomas, a guy that head coach Marek Jurinski says, best catcher possibly in the league. 3-0. And that one is teared down the left field line. Just beyond the parked van. So now there's a strike on him. 3-1 is the count to Thomas. Go down to Santana. Here comes the 3-1 pitch on the way. That one is ripped foul again down the left field line. Stays in the park. 3-2. Alex Nowaka just stands there and watches that one zing past him. Those types of shots shouldn't intimidate. Shouldn't intimidate Nowaka. He's had, again, a couple hard-hit balls pounded his way, and he's been able to make the plays. It's 3-2 with one down. Two runs across on the home run from Danny Hughes. 3-2 pitch, and he hits him. Devin Thomas takes one on the thigh, and he walks down to first base. Jeff Dietz has to stay at second base, and Donauer, visibly frustrated, he's now going to talk things over with John Cole, the Quaker head coach. We'll see if someone comes out of the bullpen. And it looks like there's some movement. Will the door open? And who is behind the left field door? We'll find out as he trots into the infield. So Wes Dunauer's day is done. In a real tough challenge for a freshman coming in and facing some really experienced hitters on the Brown side, and they are very, very good. Very good, as we've seen. Stephen Delfilio has the honors now of facing the heart of the order coming up, some of the better hitters for Brown. So Thomas, again, Devin Thomas is at first base. He was hit by a pitch. Jeff Dietz standing at second after a double. There's just one out here in the top of the fifth inning. Steve Delfilio in for the second game in a row. In his last two games, Steve Delfilio, well, he's pitched in the last two games with officially just one inning. So he had seven runs, six of them earned, eight hits. And he showed a lot of promise last year, just a tough start to this season. In 2005, 2 2/3 of an innings pitched. Didn't even have an ERA against him, no runs, just one hit. Four strikeouts, four walks. Struck out the side against Temple on March 16th, 2005. Again, 13-1 is the score in the top of the fifth inning, one down. Delfilio, he's a junior left-hander from Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. That's in Bucks County. Pencrest High School. A couple guys from Bucks County on this Penn team, Nick Francona. Despite the fact that his pops, Terry, went on to coach the Red Sox and be their manager after he was done here with a stint with the Phillies, the family remained in Bucks County. Nick Francona, he went to Lawrenceville Prep, which is actually where David Whitehurst of the Penn basketball team went to high school at Lawrenceville Prep. David Whitehurst now in the spring season running track, and if you're a fan of track, go out and see Whitehurst. He's a real speedy guy. Maybe trying to qualify for the Olympics. But anyhow, Nick Francona, he went to Lawrenceville. His sister, Ashley, went to Pennsbury High School. Now she's playing in the ACC. Speaking of the Red Sox, they're losing to the Phillies just down the expressway, 9-5, in an exhibition game at Citizens Bank Park. Again, the Quakers had an opportunity to play at Citizens Bank Park. That's one of the stipulations of the Liberty Bell Classic. The championship game is played at the Phillies' new home. Bill Filio sends in the first pitch. Outside corner for a strike. Bill Filio, a deliberate over-the-top delivery. 0-1 the count. Pitch on the way. There's a curveball that for a while it seemed like it was en route to the back of Ryan Murphy. However, curved inside, missing for a ball, 1-1. At second base, Dietz. At first base, it is Devin Thomas at the plate, the left-handed hitting left fielder, Ryan Murphy. 1-1, pitch on the way, outside corner, throw back down to second. They've got him. If it's in time, they do. What a heads-up play by Josh Korn as Dietz was caught sleeping, leading off second. A throwback down, a good tag by Scotty Graham, and that's out number two. One and two is the count now on Ryan Murphy. The pitch by Bell Filio. There's a curve high over the head. So Devin Thomas, the lone base runner now, with two down here in the top of the fifth. 13-1 the score, Brown leading by a dozen. Pitch on the way, just off the plate outside. Now, I could have sworn that was the same pitch, or at least somewhat almost identical location as the first strike called by home plate umpire Jerry Bulligitz, but he saw it differently. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Runner goes. High fly ball left center field, giving chase is Armony, and Bone goes over. They converge, but it's Armony who comes up with the catch right in the power alley in left field. So the Quakers, they yield two in that inning. On the home run, the two-run shot by Danny Hughes. That makes it a 13-1 game as we go to the bottom of the fifth here at now officially Michael John Stadium in University City. This inning, Penn brings to the plate. The top of the order, Joey Bone, Josh Korn, and Kyle Armony. 1-2-3, a good place to start if you want to chip back into this game. Sean McNamara starting his fifth inning of work. He has been rock solid, four hits so far, and just a run. Just a run from a guy who came in averaging 8.5 allowed per game. But Brown seems like a very solid team. Hey, if they can get this type of pitching game in and game out, with the offense they have, again, leading the Ivy League, coming in with a 292 average, they will certainly challenge Harvard and Yale. Yale seems to be the front runner for that Red Wolf division title. Again, they're 11-9 overall. Harvard is 3-9. Dartmouth is 3-9 as well. Brown is 0-12. Now they're 1-12. Looking to be 2-12. And in the Lou Gehrig division, Penn is, well, they're tied for first, with Columbia coming in at 2-2. Penn is now 2-3 in the conference with the loss earlier this afternoon to Brown. Joey Bone leads off, that's left, the center field starter. He's 0-2. And he takes a chop of the first one and sends it foul. On the third base side, 0-1. Bone came into the game, hitting at 316 after going 3-4 in the first outing against the Bears. And the 0-1 pitch, that one is grounded sharply on the right side and through for a base hit. So Joey Bone takes a large turnaround approach. He's going to gamble to second. It goes all the way to the wall, and now he's going to try for a third. He will be there and is held up, a leadoff. We'll see what they're going to call it. Certainly leadoff base hit, but Brown's defenders had no idea how to play that ball. They were seemingly unaware and unprepared. We'll see what the official scoring is. I think he probably could have stretched a double out of it. Now, whether or not he could have gotten to third, that's the question. So it seemed like Joey Bowen was due for a base hit, as he was right there. He's at third base with a triple, and on the season for Bowen, that is his second triple of the campaign. That brings up Josh Korn. Pitch on the way. That's there for a strike. It's interesting, the second baseman, Brian Tews, after the ball went into right field, he was just kind of like shrugging his shoulders, and I don't know if he was saying, well, I thought it was in my glove, but it went underneath. But it didn't look like he was even really close to making a play. The other one pitch grounded back up the mound, charging home to score as Joey Bowen threw to first from the shortstop. Pappenhaus is in time, but the RBI will go to Josh Korn. So the Quakers, they make it a 13-2 game. That brings up Kyle Armoney. Kyle Armoney, a single in two plate appearances so far, 2-2. In the first game, Armoney went 1-4. Excuse me, walked his last time up. And a single back in the first. That one is outside. Can't read my own handwriting. 1-0 is the count. Armoney batting, left pitch on the way. He got a good rip at one, but sent it right back to the screen. One ball and one strike. That's what Sean McNamara, the Browns starter, has on Kyle Armoney. And it's tough. Penn's offense at times this season, they have shown its ability. As a team, they hit a 263, but they do have some power. It's just tough when you fall behind in games like this, as that one is hacked high in the air down the first base side. Going over is Hughes, and Hughes, right near the side fencing, makes the play for out number two. Tim May, up at the plate, hitting a 311 coming into this game. He grounded into a 463 double play his last time up in the third. He grounded out to first, his first time up in the first. May batting right, the DH. And he's ready for the first pitch from McNamara. Here it comes, and he turns on it. He opposite sides it to the right side, doubled up by Brian Tews, throw to first. And there you have it. The Quakers are done after getting a run across in the bottom of the fifth. 13-2 is the score. Penn picking up a hit and a run. And they don't strand anyone. So 13-2 as Penn is back out into the field. Steve Belfiglio resumes his duties on the mound after coming in for a leaf for Wes Jonauer in the previous inning. He's going to face the bottom part of Brown's order, Eric Larson, Brian Keller, and Robert Pappenhaus. Some sun still over the right field fence, mostly clouds on the left side. And it's still decent visibility here at Michael John Stadium with lights on in the outfield. Again, the lights aren't designed to allow for play in darkness, but it does help somewhat. Just one big bulb on the top of a pole. Steve Belfiglio still hurling for Penn. Again, the junior from Newtown Square. He's a lefty, one of the few that Penn has in their stockpile in the bullpen. Again, a reminder, tomorrow's doubleheader will not be on PennAthletics.com, but you can hear it on Yale's website. So be sure to tune into that. 12 o'clock first pitch, as it's the Bulldogs looking like maybe the best team in the Ivy League so far with an 11-9 overall record coming in this afternoon. Yale is at Columbia today for a doubleheader. Belfiglio gets ready, and he's going to face Eric Larson as the first batter. Curveball right there as it dips down to the belt for strike one. So maybe for Belfiglio, who has struggled somewhat, all it may take is getting calmly through the first couple innings. A good off-speed pitch as Larson's out in front of it. No balls and two strikes. Morrison hitting right, playing in center field, and the 0-2 on the way. Swing and a miss, got him, a slider down and in. So three pitches produces a strikeout for Steve Belfilio, walking with some confidence around the mound, as he should. He started that one off there, some good fastballs, curves, and then a slider. First strikeout for Belfilio, and that brings up Brian Keller. He takes strike one outside corner, so look at Steve Belfilio dealing here on the top of the sixth. The 0-1 on the way to Kelleher. Inside corner fastball strike. Nothing but strikes so far from Steve Belfilio. 0-2 the count to Brian Kelleher. And here comes the 0-2. Rewind, serves in the dirt. That one bounces out in front of the plate. You could tell that he wanted that one. One and two. And here's the pitch by Belfilio. Curveball inside corner just missing. It's a good pitch, but a good disciplined eye by Kelleher. And the 2-2. Inside and low, the three balls and two strikes. So Belfilio, he was out in front of this count, 0-2, but Kelleher has worked it full. Here's the 3-2 on the way high and inside, so unfortunately, after getting out in front of that batter, Belfilio lets it get away. And at first base is Brian Kelleher.
Shortstop, number 29, Robert Abbott.
So there's a one-out base runner for Brown, and that brings up Robert Pappenhaus. And the pitch is on the outside edge. Nice little touch right there and finesse from Belfilio. So balls and a strike. Kelleher is a small and speedy guy. Curveball, strike two, outside corner. So Belfilio right back at it. Kelleher on the year, he has. Pop tried to steal a base, but again, small and spunky. Ground ball sharply hit to third, blocked down by Nowaka. It gets too far in front of him to make a play. He blocked it down. Again, he took it on a short hop, but on the deflection off his chest, it rolled out too far in front of him. And now it looks like maybe he's taking the glove off. And we'll see if everything's all right with Alex Nowaka. Two runners on for Brown with one out here in the top of the sixth. 13-2 is the score, and 11-run lead for the Bears. The Bears came in averaging around 5 runs a game. They got 9 in the first, 13 here in the second. They averaged 7 runs a game last year. Curveball by Belfilio, outside corner strike. To the right-hand hitting leadoff hitter, Paul Christensen. The 0-1 pitch on the way. He's off high. Back behind the right side of the plate, drifting back is Korn, but calling him off is Belfilio at the plate to make the play. Good job by Belfilio, as Korn was dangerously close to tripping over his catcher's mask that he threw off. It was standing right at the bottom point of the plate. But Belfilio said, hey, I've got you covered. Called him off for the second out of the inning. So two pop-ups in foul territory the last time was up to Paul Christian after he started the game on a 3-for-3 tear. That brings up Brian Tuce. Walked his last time up. He is 3-of-3, 3 singles, and an RBI. 2-on. Dangerous territory with Tuce at the plate. Curveball inside. 1-ball, no strikes. At second base for Brown, it's Brian Kelleher. At first, it is Robert Pappenhaus. Kelleher reached on a walk and advanced when there was an error on the third baseman, Alex Nowaka. Inside corner fastball by Belfilio. Strike one to even up the count of the ball and a strike to Brian Tuce. Two down, top of the sixth. 13-2 was the score. Brown in the lead. Pitch on the way. Curveball missing high and out. Two balls and one strike.
when you're third baseman, you're going to get this ball to his foot like
this. Again, Penn. Trying to snap a five-game losing streak. Tough to do now, down 11-0. He's going to throw the misses inside. And the thing is, this is, it's part of the growing pains, maybe. Unfortunate that it has to happen at this point of the season when conference play is just starting up. But again, a young team, a combined 13 sophomores and freshmen inside corner. Belfilio finds it for strike two. Two balls and two strikes, so Belfilio has looked very solid. And with two down here in the top of the sixth, Belfilio, well, they say it's 3-2. 3-2, the count is full, says home plate umpire Jerry Bolligas. And the payoff as Belfilio steps off and spins back to look by Kelleher to first. Belfilio sets, and the southpaw serves the 3-2, runners going, that one is driven, high and deep left field, when they carry it, that one will go, a 3-1 homer. For Brown, it's 16-2, the Bears lead it by 14. On a 3-2 pitch with two down, there's Brian Tuse teeing off right into the wind pocket in left field, as that one leaves, it is the third home run of the game for the Brown Bears. 16-2, and now it's broken wide open. A 3-run home run. And at the plate now is Danny Hughes. He takes loan outside. 1-0. Pitch, that one's ripped to right through between first and second. That's a base hit. That brings up the toughest hitter to get out on Brown, Jeff Dietz. And that's a shame for Belfilio. He'd been pitching so solidly. One mistake with a count of 3-2 and two out. And boy, did Tuse make him pay. Tuse now, he is 4-for-4 after drawing a walk in. He has four RBIs. Dietz is 3-of-4. Single, two doubles, two RBIs. As Belfilio misses low and outside, one ball and no strikes. The 1-0 pitch from Belfilio popped him up. High right side of the infield, Belfilio drifts over, Moffy calls him off at the rubber, the ball goes through his glove, and reaching first is going to be Jeff Dietz, going up to second, and it's going to be Danny Hughes. Did I call him Moffy? It was Abbott, I'm sorry. Shades of 2005. That brings up Devin Thomas. Belfilio sets and now gets ready to take on Devin Thomas inside and low. One ball and no strikes. Well, the Quakers had Brown with two down, a 3-2 count. No runs had yet to come across. But then came Brian Tuse. But this one's popped up by Devin Thomas. Shallow left field, and Graham misplays it. It falls in. So reaching first and coming around to score. Well, first we'll tell you who scored for Brown. Danny Hughes scores to make it 17-2. And reaching first is Devin Thomas. Down to third base goes Jeff Dietz. I mean, there's two outs, so the runners were obviously all going on contact, and because of that, they were well in position to score, provided the error, because that one, that hung up high in the air, and it gave them plenty of time to come around. Got a pinch hitter now for Brown. Agite Niedro steps in for Brown, the 6'1", 195-pound junior from Somerville, Maryland. He's been part of the Brown outfield platoon this year, appearing in half the games they've played. And the first pitch to him, big cut, no contact, 0-1. Runners on the corners, Jeff Dietz at third, and Devin Thomas is at first, both reaching after fly balls were misplayed. And swinging and missing again is Niedro. 0-2, Belfilio's got him in the hole. Four runs already across here in the top of the sixth. 17-2 is the score. Belfilio serves the 0-2 down inside. A ball and two strikes. Again, you really feel for Steve Belfilio right here. He had them out of this inning. The 1-2 on the way. Curveball, and he's got him. Swing and a miss by Niedro, and that does it for Brown in the top of the sixth. However, four runs come across to make it a 17-2 game in favor of the Bears over the Quakers as we go to the bottom of the sixth. Again, the long ball has been an enormous advantage for Brown in this particular game. The second game, they have three of them. They had 12 coming into the contest. And now we'll see where Niedro takes over. So Agite Niedro will walk out, it looks like, to left field. And now we're going to have a new center fielder as well. Steve Daniels comes in, the 5'11", 175-pound freshman. And then again, Agite Niedro. He goes over to left field. And Sean McNamara is still on the hill, mowing him down. And it's really been a nice, balanced effort from Brown so far today. The hitters are doing the job in terms of making the pitchers comfortable on the mound. Pitchers that desperately need some sort of confidence coming into this game. Brown's numbers on their pitching staff, not very good. Just one pitcher that had a ERA lower than 7.94. That was Ethan Silverstein. He had a 4.70 ERA, but no one had picked up a win. Brown didn't have a win in this game on the season until earlier this afternoon. Won the first game 9-6, and they are en route to their second straight, leading 17-2 here in the bottom of the sixth. Tony Moses will get things started for Penn. Tony Moses getting ready. Sean McNamara on the mound. Moses fly out his last time up as he takes strike one in the outside corner, and he reached on an error back in the first inning. McNamara winds, and the 0-1 pitch right there on the outside edge. It's 0-2. McNamara. Yep, that's what 15 runs will do for your confidence. Here we go with the 0-2, outside and high. One ball and two strikes. One-two pitch. Laid off a curveball down low and outside. That was more of a breaking ball down and outside. So it's two balls and two strikes. Tony Moses again back in the batting order after sitting out the last two games. Here's the 2-2. That one is lofted high in the air, way high, scraping the clouds. Center field, shallow. The second baseman, Brian Tews, backs up and makes the play. One down. And now we're going to have a chance to take a look at Alex Seifert. Alex Seifert, a 6'4", 200 freshman first baseman. That's his typical position from Ann Arbor, Michigan. and he's batting for Sean Abbott, so it's likely that he will take over at first base. That's left, then he takes strike one at the lettering of his jersey. The 0-1 pitch up high at the eyes. Ball and a strike. The 1-1 pitch up coming from McNamara to Seifert. Outside corner, strike two. Interesting story about Alex Seifert. He started the year with number 9, but, boy, I guess 35 years. Number 9, Bob Sutton, was in the dugout, so he quickly realized that and had to change his jersey number to 35. So that's what he's wearing this afternoon as he fouls that one off. A ball and two strikes. Third at bat of the year for Alex Seifert. Again, the freshman from Ann Arbor. McNamara gets a sign. And he gets ready. Winds. 1-2 on the way. Caught strike three. Backdoor fastball. Seifert didn't agree. It looked a little bit outside, but it has been consistent with what home plate umpire Jerry Bulligitz has been calling all game. So that's out number 2. Alex Nowaka at the plate. Got a double his last time up deep to center field off the fence. One of the deepest parts of Michael John Stadium. McNamara winds, and the first pitch in Nowaka outside corner, a fastball strike. Good fastballs over the course of the afternoon from Sean Beck. Excuse me, McNamara. That's what 5.5 hours of straight talking does. The 0-1 pitch on the way, grounded to second base. Brian Tews picks it up to first. 1-2-3, go the red and blue in the last of the sixth. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. Top of the seventh here at Michael John Stadium. It's a 17-2 Brown Bears lead. So the Bears are going to have the bottom three hitters coming up. Eric Larson, Brian Kelleher, and Robert Pappenhaus due up. That's if there are no substitutions. Well, and I have been given great relief. Dottie McKee, the longtime scoreboard keeper at the Palestra, taking in the game today, has just provided me some great relief with some Hall's cough drops. So, some substitutions for Penn defensively. It's going to be Jeff Salucci now behind the plate. We saw him the last game against St. Joe's. And an interesting move in that Alex Nowaka is drifting out to center field. We'll see who they stick at third base. Looks like, yeah, it could be Matt Grimes, the freshman from Upper Brookville, New York, at a French academy. He's taking over at third base for Alex Nowaka, who moves into center field for Joey Bowen. Tony Moses is still in right field, and it looks like Army's out there in left. And at first base, it's Alex Seifert. At the plate, for Brown, it's going to be a pinch hitter as he fists it foul down the left field side. It's going to be Steve Daniels, who replaced Eric Larson. Oh, and one is the count to Steve Daniels. And a pitch on the way, inside corner, on a curve, as Steve Belfilio is still on the mound. Still balls and two strikes. Yeah. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Well, maybe now as we try to get what the numbers are, maybe that's Kyle Armoney out in right field. No? That is Moses. He stayed there. Well, here's the 1-2 pitch on the way, outside and low. A ball, two balls and two strikes. So Bowen is now in left. Harmony is out of the game. Pitch on the way. Foul back to the screen. Count holds it, two balls and two strikes. 17-2 the score in the top of the seventh. From Michael John Stadium on an afternoon where the ballpark was officially dedicated. Again, Bill Michael John received an honorary jersey, a Louisville Slugger bat, and a certificate of appreciation from the Penn Athletics Department. That one's fouled off by Steve Daniels. Two balls and two strikes. Delfilio in his third inning of work for Penn, the junior out of Penncrest High School, a local product. Delfilio is 2-2 on the way, up high at the chin outside, and the count runs full. Well, Delfilio's had a tendency to start very strong in counts, but then die off somewhat a little bit and let the batters back in. We'll see what he can do here at full count. Pitch on the way, and that is right down the middle, called strike three. Steve Daniels knew it as it crossed the plane of the plate, so there's one down.
Third inning, number one, Brian Kelleher.
That is the second strikeout for Steve Delfilio, and that brings up Brian Kelleher. Brian Kelleher on the year. It's his seventh game that he's appeared in, a 300 hitter. First pitch to him is up high at the eyes, a ball and no strikes. Keller walked his last time up. Last game he played was against Greensboro College on the 30th. Went 1-3 after the center field start. Knocked in an RBI. 1-0 pitch on the way in the dirt. Inside underneath the glove of Jeff Salucci. 2-0. Delfilio gets the sign, and here's the 2-0 pitch, right down the middle, strike one, resetting again the red and blue defense. Confused us a little bit, so if you're listening, probably confused you. Joey Bones just from center to left. In center from third is Alex Nowaka, and right is Tony Moses. And the pitch, swing and a miss off speed, down and in, 2-2. On the infield at third, it's Matt Grimes in his first inning of work. At short, it's Scott Graham. Second is Doug Brown, and at first is Alex Seyfert, relieving Sean Abbott behind the plate. It is Jeff Salucci. 2-2 is the count to Robert Papenhouse. Grabs it back up the middle. Excuse me, that's Kelleher. Nice stab by Delfilio. Underhand of first to Seyfert. That's out number two. That one was hit sharply back to the mound by Kelleher.
Georgia number 29.
And that brings up the shortstop, Robert Papenhouse. So the Quakers looking to get past this bottom portion of the order and not let anyone from the top half get up this inning. Two down, and the pitch on the way to Papenhouse is a curveball, tailing inside and low at the shoelaces. A ball and no strikes. Again, Brown has scored in every inning, each of their six previous plate appearances. They have put up some sort of numbers. And the pitch bounces up in front of the plate. Two balls and no strikes. Pitch from Delfilio to Papenhouse is down low. Three balls and no strikes. Delfilio winds and he deals the 3-0 inside corner. Good fastball coming over the top of that. Three balls and one strike. Papenhouse earlier reached on an error back in the sixth, and he grounded out twice. Pitch on the way, curveball inside, so he draws a walk. So on base for the second time this afternoon. And that brings up the top of the order, and Paul Christian.
Right fielder, number 7, Paul Christian.
Christian has flied out in foul territory his past two trips to the plate. Pretty start of the game, 3-3, as he sends that high and foul at first base. Again, Brown started off this game with four straight hits from Christian, Tews, Hughes, and Dietz. So, on count, pitch on the way. That one is fouled down the third base side, 0-2. So, Steve Belfiglio has got Christian in an 0-2 hole. 17-2 is the score. Brown leads here in the top of the seventh. A lot of darkened diamonds on the scorecards today. Now for those sets, and the 0-2 pitch on the way. A curveball skips off the mitt of Jeff Cellucci. So scampering up to second base is going to be Robert Papanos. We'll give that one a wild pitch on Steve Belfiglio. It's going to be tough for the outfield to maybe read a ball off the bat if it goes that far, as the infield is in the shadows. Some catches are some in the outfield. That one is torn into down the left field line, into the corner of base hit. So 7 innings in all, Brown is going to have at least one run. Coming across to score is Robert Papanos. And that's where a walk really hurts. 18-2 is the score. As Paul Christian, this is his fourth hit of the game. And again, it's one of those things where Brown, again, perfect placement with their hits. Just in the right spots. Brian Tews stands in hitting right, playing second base in this game after pitching a fine outing in the first. And the pitch to him is inside and a little bit high. One ball, no strikes. Brown doesn't care how many outs they have. They'll do whatever it takes. A lot of runs have come with two down. We saw it happen in the sixth, last inning, and again here in the seventh. Inside and low, two balls, no strikes. Hughes is 4-for-4 with 3 singles, a home run, and 4 RBIs. That was after he went 3-for-4 in the first game, and he belts that one through the gap between third and short into left field for a base hit. Now he's 5-for-5. On the afternoon, he's 8-of-9. 8-of-9. Came in averaging 4.05. Holding a third is Paul Christian. Dan Hughes, the first baseman, stands in. I don't know if this is an aberration of Brown, if they're playing above their heads, but again, they're going to be very tough. Interesting, real interesting to see what happens in the Brown-Yale series. As Belfiglio misses outside low with the curveball clocked in at 68 miles per hour. Runners on the corners with two down, a run already across, top of the seventh, swing and a miss. Full off-speed pitch low and outside. Good pitch by Belfiglio. It's 1-1. Belfiglio, he has, again, demonstrated that he can vary up the pitches. Good curveballs. Real good slider. And here's the 1-1 on the way. A curveball, that's right there at the waist. 1-2. At first base, taking his lead is Brian Tews. At third is Paul Christian. Pitch is high outside. It's two balls and two strikes. Belfiglio and the Quakers trailing by 16 in the top of the seventh. 18-2. Pitch on the way. Ground ball to second base. Stopped by Brown. He'll take his time and calmly throw to first. And that will do it for Brown. In the top of the seventh inning, they do get one more run to make it 18-2. They have 21 hits. Brown has 21 hits. Penn has 5. An error against Brown. 3 against Penn. It is stretch time here at Michael John Stadium with the score, the Brown Bears 18 and Penn 2. As the organ gets revved up, Again, a real good crowd here. Youth Baseball Day at Michael John Stadium, working in tandem with the dedication of the stadium. A lot of local kids, some youth coming out to support the Penn Quakers. Again, Penn President Amy Gutman was here for a while. Majority of the athletic department was as well. As you stand up, stretch it out, as we are now nearly 6 hours in for baseball on a Saturday afternoon. Again, a reminder, tomorrow's game will not be heard on PennAthletics.com, but you can hear it on the Yale Bulldogs website. The Penn Quakers in this inning, they will have Scott Graham, Doug Brown, and Joey Bone. So Scott Graham will stand in to take on Sean McNamara, still into the game. Again, what a big boost this is going to give Brown going into the week, not really having to use anyone from the bullpen. It could be that Sean McNamara goes the full nine. McNamara gets ready, taking on Scott Graham. And the first pitch in the bottom of the seventh, strike one, a good fastball. That fastball has been the key pitch for Sean McNamara. Here comes 0-1. Lofted high and foul down the first base side. And out of play into the stands. And it's 0-2 on Scott Graham. So this week, Scott Graham looked to get back in the swing of things, if you want to use that punchline, because he came into the morning in the first game of the doubleheader. Six of his last nine, but he has been unable to get on base via hit in two games this afternoon. 0-2, check swing, just off the outside corner. He appealed down to first base, and the umpire, Tom Beck, says he did not go around. It's 1-2. Scott Graham, the shortstop, waits the 1-2 from McNamara. Here comes, well outside the way, two balls and two strikes. Again, I think one thing that we have seen, it's been established since Graham got his start in the second game against Columbia last weekend, is that he will probably be a regular presence for Penn if he can keep up the offense. There's a ground ball, second base, backhand stab by Tews. Throw to first is high, but for the second time this afternoon, Hughes manages to make the catch and come down with the tag. So that's the first out here in the bottom of the seventh, and that brings up Doug Brown, the second baseman, who recorded the last out at the top of the seventh. You can always hear how defensive players like to make the last out, get right back up and do something with hitting. We'll see what Doug Brown can do right here. Brown struck out swinging his last time up. And the first pitch, here is a called strike on the outside edge. Just one hit for Brown so far. It came against St. Joe's and now has seven plate appearances. And the 0-1 pitch, swing and a miss. Chased a high fastball outside. So quickly, 0-2, Doug Brown behind. McNamara into the wind, and the righty serves up the 0-2. Over and upstairs. Joey Bone waits on deck again. He's still in the lineup, but he did make the shift from center field to right field. 1-2 on the way. Big fastball, swinging and missing is Doug Brown. You could really tell that McNamara dug in, and he got one over the plate, and Brown couldn't catch up to it. Two outs, last of the seventh. And here's Joey Bone. Joey Bone got a triple his last time up. That was the official ruling. Batting from the left side. You get a straight up and down stance for Joey Bone. Swing and a miss. Good fastball by McNamara. Again, just like the textbook says, keep your back level with the knees. The 0-1, down low and outside, one ball, one strike. 1-1 pitch on the way. Checks his swing, slips, and because of that, his bat crossed the front of the plate. So a tough second strike against Joey Bone. 1-2. McNamara wants. Here comes the 1-2 pitch on the way. He golfs one, lacing it into left field. It falls in for a base hit. A tough pitch to hit as Bone races around first, speeds towards second. The throw is not in time, standing up with a double. And two down here in the bottom of the seventh is Joey Bone. That pitch was so low and outside for Joey Bone, the left-handed hitter. He had to really reach out and off the end of the bat, showcasing that power, pop it in to left field for a base hit. That brings up Jeff Salucci. So Joey Bone, two extra base hits in his last two times up at the plate. And Jeff Salucci now. He relieved Josh Korn. Josh Korn went 2 of 3 on the afternoon in this second game. And the first pitch to Salucci, he smacks one to center field, racing in, but not to get there in time as Steve Daniels rounding third is Bone, and he motors home to make it a 18-3 game with two down here in the bottom of the seventh. That brings up Matt Grimes. So that's what you like to see if you're Jeff Salucci. You get an opportunity to do something in a game, and he makes the most of it with an RBI single right there. And for Salucci, that is his first RBI on the season. Strike one call against Matt Grimes. The one on the way, outside corner, strike two. Two strikes on the batter, Matt Grimes, hitting right, playing at third. He relieved Alex Nowaka, who moved out to center field. And the 0-2 on the way, outside corner, backdoor fastball, called strike three. Again, some disagreement from Matt Grimes, but it has been a wide strike zone on the outside part of the plate for Jerry Bowlingitz. So the Penn Quakers tack on a run in the bottom of the seventh on the RBI single to center field by Jeff Salucci. Joey Bone came around to score after he doubled with two down. So it's a 15-1, 18-3 game, heading up to the top of the eighth. Kenny Yu is going to come in to pitch. And now we have Matthew Brown going out to right field to provide some defense. Kenny, he appeared in the last game against St. Joe's. We'll give you the numbers on him in just a second. So taking a look at Kenny Hugh's last performance, not one that he'd like to remember. The 6'2", 195-pound junior from Floral Park, New York, throws right, and against St. Joe's, he got the loss. Couldn't record an out, one hit, five runs, two walks. But again, that was one of those things. It was just seemed to be St. Joe's day. But we'll see if Kenny Yu can rebound here as he faces the toughest part, arguably, of Brown's batting order. The 4, 5, and 6 hitters, Jeff Dietz, Devin Thomas, and Ryan Murphy. So Dietz is going to walk up and get ready to go from the right side. Again, 18-3 is the score. As we get ready for the top of the eighth, Brown and Penn. Brown came in, no wins on the season, 0-12, but again, that's misleading based on who they play. They're a very good team, best offense in the Ivy League, and the pitching, probably the best performance pitching-wise of the year. A high chopper to third. There's Seyfert. Fires across in time to make the play. Well, actually, we have, that's Grimes over at third. Seyfert is at first. So good stop by Grimes to retire Dietz. That brings up Devin Thomas, the catcher. He was hit by a pitch back in the fifth inning, and then he reached on an error in the sixth. Before that, he had a pair of hits, two doubles, and he takes strike one of the knees. 0-1. And the 0-1 pitch took something off that. And it's 1-1. That fastball, the first one from you, clocked in at around 85. We'll see if he can keep that speed working throughout the rest of his outing. 1-1 pitch swung on and sent high in the air to center field. Moving in on it is Alex Nowaka. He makes the play. So Alex Nowaka, some good plays at third, and now back in the outfield. Diversifying his portfolio. And that brings up Magite Nedro, the right-handed hitter. Magite Nedro, the junior. He's one of the quickest members on this Brown team, but they don't send him when he's on the base paths. He's also a member of the USA national team when he was in high school. Pitch down that side, bounces under the glove of Jeff Salucci. A ball and no strikes. 18-3 your score, Brown leading Penn by 15. Kenny Yu comes with the 1-0 inside corner fastball strike. So Kenny Yu, good execution through two outs so far. One and one is a count. Salucci sets up outside, and the pitch comes on the way outside corner back door. And it's 1-2. Again, the wind's still blowing pretty strong out to left field. Clouds covering the field. 1-2 pitch outside. Two balls and two strikes. The first game went to Brown, 9-6. The second one seems to be going to Brown as well. And the 2-2. And Nedro knocks it back to the screen, fouling it, staying alive. Two balls and two strikes. Quakers outfield playing straight away. But Kenny Yu looking for a big confidence booster in this inning of work right here. He has two down. And the 2-2 pitch swing and a swat back to the screen. So Nedro's staying alive. The count of 2-2, fouled off the last two pitches. Two balls, two strikes, two down, top of the eighth. Kenny Yu winds, fires, and that is fouled off on the right side. So Magite Nedro is taking his dear old time. Wants to stay alive up there. Again, he's not a regular, he does platoon, so every chance counts. 2-2 pitch, swing and a miss on a vicious breaking ball down and outside. Great pitch by Kenny Yu, and for the first time this second game of the doubleheader, we can look up on the scoreboard, and in the top half of the inning, see a big, fat, juicy bagel. So we go to the bottom half of the eighth, 18-3 is the score. Again, Brown's 18 runs, coming on 21 hits. Penn's three runs on seven, and Sean McNamara stands back out of the mound for Brown. And that last pitch by Kenny Yu exemplifies the state of the Penn's pitching staff right now. It was such a good pitch, and there have been so many signs over the course of this campaign, the potential that some of these pitchers have. Unfortunately, the consistency, that's something they're going to be working on as the season winds through. Andy Consol is going to lead off for the Penn Quakers. He will be the pinch hitter. We saw Andy Consol have a home run against Columbia last weekend in Game 2. He went 2-for-4 with two runs and an RBI. Brown's defensive lineup remains the same. We're also going to see Matthew Brown at the plate this inning as well. And here comes Andy Consol. Again, Consol, as we've mentioned many times, battling through a shoulder injury that's preventing him from pitching this year, and that obviously damaged the Quakers' depth in terms of their rotation. But he stands in batting right as a pinch hitter. Here he comes, and he sends that high in the other right field. Moving in on it is Paul Christian, but calling him off is the second baseman, Brian Tews. One away in the last of the eighth. And here's Matthew Brown. Matthew Brown, we also saw against St. Joe's. He has one hit and three at-bats. Appeared in now his third outing of the season. Sean McNamara, the first pitch to Brown, outside corner strike, 0-1. Again, Brown going on to play URI next. It's going to be their first home game up at the Shoulders, and that has to be a relief. I mean, again, the first part of the season, most of these teams, particularly when Brown is on spring break the past couple weeks, down south in the Carolinas, Davidson, one of those schools, Greensboro College in Florida, Tennessee. Sometimes the Ivy clubs go out to California, which is what the Quakers did last year. Wasn't the best trip, but then again, getting things started in warm weather. 2-1 is the count to Brown. And here comes the pitch from McNamara. He slices that foul down the right side. And the count evens up at 2-2. And the other thing is another thing to consider when you take a look at the records of these teams coming into conference play is that when Brown, especially when they were down in Florida and Tennessee and they were 0-12, they didn't win any of those games. You know, those are Brown's first games of the year, and you have the best teams in the country that have been out there playing already as Brown chases an outside fastball, goes down swinging. Two outs here in the bottom of the eighth. Again, one of those things, obviously, you always emphasize wanting the best in every single game, but it's tough. It's not like in a sport like basketball where all the teams relatively start at the same time. I mean, the first day of practice for basketball is October 15th, and pretty much teams get started the first week in November. Rarely do you ever, as the pitch by Seyfert is slapped to short, scooped up by Scott Graham, that's Robert Pappenhouse. Scott Graham is on the Quakers. Pappenhouse for Brown makes the play, so 3-up, 3-down for Penn as we go to the top of the ninth to score 18-13. But again, as I was saying, in a sport like basketball, even with football, everyone pretty much starts off at a uniform time. Maybe you see one team having a week and a half more experience in terms of actual game competition than the other. But in baseball, I mean, you can have some of the best teams in the country that get to play in the best weather. They get maybe a month and a half more work starting in the first couple weeks of February than some of these teams from up north. The teams from up north, they just can't start that early because they have class to work with, and they don't have spring break in February, whereas the warm weather schools, they have the luxury of Mother Nature on their side. Change for the Quakers, it's going to be John Smith in center field taking over for Alex Nowaka. And now out in left field, the Quakers are going to put Joey Bone again. He's going to stay out there. And in right, it's Matthew Brown. Again, in center, it's John Smith. Infield is Matt Grimes at third, Scott Graham at short, Doug Brown at second, Alex Stafford at first, behind the plate, Salucci. And at the hill for the Quakers, still Kenny Yu. Pitched a great top of the eighth. A 1-2-3 inning. That was the easiest inning Penn's had against the Bears. The first time this afternoon that Brown has failed to put a run up on the scoreboard in their top half of the frame. So reading things off for Brown is going to be Steve Daniels, who takes for a ball 1-0. And the pitch is now mowing outside. Well, no, they say it's a strike. A ball and a strike. Here comes a 1-1. Outside corner, below the knees, two balls and one strike to Steve Daniels. Steve Daniels struck out twice. And here comes a 2-1 from Yu. That one is dribbled right in front of the plate. Salucci pounces on it, fires to first, safe. Just beating out the throw is Steve Daniels. Good hustle down the line. Tough play for Salucci, but he fielded it cleanly. He was just rolling slowly enough to give him enough time for Daniels to get down to first. So an infield single for Brown. That's their 22nd hit of the afternoon. Anthony Vita is the pinch hitter for Brown. Anthony Vita, a 6-foot, 195-pound junior infielder from West Babylon, New York. And Vita, he's a junior, still having some problems at the plate, trying to gain some consistency. He hasn't shown that the past 2 years as he takes strike one in the outside corner. Started in one game last year, appeared in three as a breaking ball bounces up outside. A ball and a strike. One-on-one the count. Kenny Yu, the junior, the right-hander, working against the right-handed hitting. Anthony Vita, pitch on the way, down low inside of the shins. Two balls and one strike. A runner on for Brown, no one out, top of the ninth, 18-30, Brown with the lead. And here's the 2-1, up high and outside of the shoulders, three balls and a strike. So whereas Yu seemed to be well in command in the previous inning, having some problems finding the plate here in his second inning of work. Pitch on the way, and he has to fist one down the third baseline, rolling foul. So it goes to 3-2. Anthony Vita was almost past the first base bag, so he's taking some time to get back to the batter's box. Vita, it's one of those things. He's a player that's struggling coming in. And the fact that your team, you know, an 18-3 lead, it does a lot to take the pressure off. So now he can just go out there and focus, concentrate. He should do what he has to do. And as he slices that one foul on the first base side, and the count holds three balls and two strikes. Vita's average, well, there's nothing there. He's, again, this is his fifth at bat. He scored a run. Pitch on the way, swing and a miss. Strike three, good pitch by you. High fastball for the first out of the inning. And it looks like we have another. No, almost. It looked like it. Not another substitution. As Robert Papenhuis is at the plate. With one down. First pitch to Papenhuis, the right-handed hitting shortstop. He takes strike one over the middle. Papenhuis walked and scored his last time up in the seventh. Yu sets with a runner on. He's not being held. Serves, breaking ball inside beneath the knees. One ball and one strike. At first base, it is Steve Daniels. He reached on an infield single that just wouldn't gain any speed and died on the first base line. You ready? Zan rifles the pitch over. He jams him inside. Just shortstop charging for the Quakers. Graham guns to first, gets him in time. Second out of the inning. Graham has done a pretty decent job fielding left side of the infield for Penn. That's one of the things that they have been working to improve. But the changes that have been made, it seems like Graham is a pretty solid presence. That brings up Paul Christian, one of the just absolute thorns in the Quaker side on the course of the afternoon. He had a double his last time up to left field. Two down in the top of the ninth, a runner on second. It was Steve Daniels who advanced. Pitch on the way. Ooh, that one cracked off the, it looked like the elbow, but now it's the wrist maybe, or maybe the nub of the bat. I think that was just it sounded nasty, and thankfully that wasn't any part of the body. And you could tell because Paul Christian, he didn't really flinch in any sort of monumental pain, but maybe just got a stinger through the metal bat. So that one went off right off the bottom of the bat. 0-1. Pitch on the way. Outside, it gets past the glove of Salucci. Advancing to third is Steve Daniels, and the ball rolls into the dugout. The Quakers dug out on the third base side. A ball and a strike. Two two down here in the top of the ninth. Brown clinched the first game by a score of 9-6. And that one is hit in the air to left center field, giving chase for the Quakers. It's drawn. Smith slides, can't make the play. Again, Smith was halfway in the sun, had to move into the shadows. And again, when the infield is in the shadows, it's tough to read the ball off the bat. So a run comes across. 19-3 is the score now with two down. And at first base is going to be Christian, another RBI for him. And they're going to give him a single on that. Coming in to score was Steve Daniels, who made it all the way around after reaching on that infield single. And here's everyone's favorite hitter on Brown, Brian Tews, as he fouls it off behind the plate. All Tews has done is go 5-for-5 with four singles, a home run, and four RBIs. And that's just in this game. In the other game, he went 3-for-4 with two RBIs, and he scored two runs. And there's the 0-1 pitch on the way, bouncing up down on that side. We saw this with you against St. Joe's. When effective is curve and breaking balls, they are very good and tough to catch up with if you're a hitter, but they do have a tendency to slip severely out of the strike zone on the outside parts of the plate with a drastic dip on it. Here's a 1-1 pitch, jammed him inside, foul. A very sharp cut on some of those balls that you throws in there. So the count's 1-2 to Brian Tews. Maybe you will be the one to not make this be a perfect afternoon for Brian Tews, at least in this game. There's the pitch. And he said high to the left field corner, drifting over as Joey Bone lost his hat, but he holds it in. So Brian Tews is now 5-6, and that's the third out of the inning. For the Brown Bears, they had another run on a hit. 19-3 is the score. Bottom of the ninth coming up from Michael John Stadium as the Quakers come to the plate. So Brown is going to let their starter, Sean McNamara, go the distance, and what a great outing it's been for him. Just three runs and now eight complete innings of work. Trying to hold that number through nine innings. So seven hits surrendered. Some defensive changes for Brown. Matt Nuzzo, who started the first game at third, is there right now. And now at shortstop, they're going to put... Oh, he's going to stay there. The middle infield stays the same. At first base, Brad Rifkin is at first. Behind the plate, they're going to put Robert Dykhouse. So some defensive changes for Brown. Again, reviewing that. It's Nuzzo over at third base. Behind the plate, it is Dykhouse at first. It's Brad Rifkin. No outfield changes. It's Agitain Miadro in left field and center field. It is Steve Daniels. And in left, Paul Christian. Batting from the right side and leading off, it is Jerron Smith for Penn. And the pitch team is taken for a strike at the knees. Despite 35 minutes of rain that stopped the progress of the first game, it's been a pretty pleasant afternoon. A little bit windy. Pitch on the way as Smith swats it foul. 0-2. It's been a pretty good afternoon. Sunshine, weather held for the ceremony between the games. Reminder that again, there is a home game tomorrow, doubleheader against Yale. Come out, support the Quakers, 0-2, down on that side. A ball and two strikes. Sean McNamara looking to go the distance for Brown. He winds, fires the 1-2, outside missing. It was belt level, but off the plate. 2-2. So John Cole and the Quakers, a couple tough losses in two games this afternoon. And they will be facing, again, what may be the best team in the Ivy League in Yale tomorrow. Coming with the most wins in the conference, the only team in the conference with a winning record of 11-9. 3-2 the count to Smith after he looked at the ball. The count is full. And the payoff, here it comes, from Sean McNamara. That one is jammed off the inside of the bat. A good cut on the ball sends it back to the shortstop. Papanastasi throws it underneath the glove of Brad Rifkin. It's going to be a base hit. There was so much spin behind that ball, it was sliced to the left side of the mound. As soon as it hit a blade of grass, it changed direction. It looked like it was going to the right, then skipped back to the left, almost like a big kick serve in tennis. Scott Graham at the plate, following his sophomore classmate, Jerron Smith. Scott Graham, two ground outs and a strikeout, looking to get some hit on the afternoon. As he swings in the first one, sends it high in the air to the right center field gap. Drifting over to make the play is Steve Daniels. Out number one. That brings up Doug Brown. Doug Brown batting right. Struck out swinging his pass two times. He grounded out the shortstop back in the second inning. Joey Bone to follow. And the pitch is up high. Ball one. Lakers have a runner on. It's Jerron Smith. He reached on a single. Pitch on the way. That one is crushed high in the air. The right field. Way back goes Christian. And it's one hopper off the fence. Jerron Smith is going to be held up at third. And at second base, there's Doug Brown. His second hit. His first for extra bases as a member of the Penn Quakers. That brings up Joey Bone. So Joey Bone at the plate his last two times, a double in the seventh and a triple back in the fifth. So Joey Bone again, 2-4, double, and a triple. Batting left. McNamara trying to get Brown out of here with their second win in a row, their first two wins of the year. There's one out in the bottom of the ninth, and 19-3 is the score. Pitch on the way, and that one is slapped towards second base. Charging to make the play is twos to first, and that's out number two, but a run comes across. Jerron Smith, he scores, and that makes it 19-4. Jeff Salucci will follow Joey Bone again. He will leave Josh Korn earlier on. Salucci, he had a double, I believe, his last time up. Excuse me, an RBI single. And the pitch on the way is down that side. It's a ball and no strikes. The 1-0 pitch. That one is lined through the gap between first and second for a base hit. And an RBI as Doug Brown comes across to score. So the Quakers, 10 picks up a pair of runs here in the bottom of the ninth with two down. It's 19-5. And that brings up Matt Grimes. Matt Grimes hitting right, again from Upper Brookville, New York, the freshman. He only had one prior appearance this game. He's 0-1. He struck out looking. Pitch on the way. Jam drop inside. The third baseman Muzzo makes the play, and that will do it. The Brown Bears leave Michael John Stadium with their first two wins of the year. The final score in this one, 19-5. The first one, Brown won by a score of 9-6. But again, I wouldn't place too much stock in the fact that the Bears were 0-12 coming in here. Again, great out-of-conference competition. Maybe the best offense in the Ivy League. And it'll be interesting to see how things shape up between the Bears and the Yale Bulldogs in the Red Wolf division of the Ivy League. The losing pitcher in this one, Steve Schwartz for the Quakers. On the season, Steve Schwartz is now 1-3. And for the Brown Bears, they get the win from their senior, Sean McNamara. He is now 1-2, allowing just 5 runs. And again, he came in with an ERA of 8.27. And an 0-2 record. So again, the final score is 19-5. Recapping the scoring, it was Brown who put up 5 big runs in the first, and that pretty much set the tone from there. The Quakers came back with one run in the bottom half of that inning to make it 5-1. But over the course of the next four innings, Brown, the Bears, they would make it a 13-1 game, where the Quakers made it 13-2 in the bottom of the fifth. The Bears responded with four big runs in the top of the sixth. That all came with two outs, and it got started with a home run. They used the long ball a lot today, three jacks by the Bears, and at that point it was 17-2. It became 18-3 after the end of seven, and as we stand, at the end of nine, it's a 19-5 win for the Brown Bears. The 14-run deficit of defeat is the Quakers' worst of the year. Second time they have surrendered 19 runs. Third time they have surrendered 19 or more. The Quakers, with the loss they fought at 6-16 on the year, they have now lost six straight after winning 4-0 in the Brown Bears. They are 2-12 and 2-0 in the Ivy League after they lost the first 12 games of the season. Penn is 2-4 in Ivy League play and will look to bounce back against the Bulldogs of Yale right here at Michael John Stadium tomorrow afternoon. The first pitch is at 12 o'clock. A reminder, that game will not be heard on PennAthletics.com, but you can hear it on the Yale Bulldogs athletic website. We got a final score. The first game, Brown won in seven innings by a score of 9-6. In the second game, 19-5, the Bears were winners over the Quakers. I'm Brian Seltzer. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you this week. A couple home games for the Quakers here at Michael John Stadium. So long, everyone.